Art radio station.
Someone's gonna get offended. It's just the way the world works. So to hopefully save everyone a little time and or energy, here's this. The opinions that you hear are those of the host and callers, and not those of iHeartMedia, its management, or advertisers.
The Monsters in the Morning. The Monsters in the Morning. Monsters
in the Morning.
Yes, it is. You wanted the best. You got the best. Last talk show in the morning anywhere in the country. It's the Monsters in the Morning. Real Radio 104.1 broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. iHeartRadio is an application. It's a way to hear thousands of radio stations. But more importantly, if you fell in love with Real Radio 104.1, you can take us home with you. You can listen to us anywhere in the world when you have iHeartRadio. If you have Alexa, you can say, Alexa, play Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio, and it'll do it. It also, if you say, Alexa, play the Monsters in the Morning, the podcast, it'll do that as well. We're on our YouTube channel, iHeart Monsters Radio on YouTube, and the best way to find everything is go to monsters.fm, and you go to monsters.fm, you can win tickets to Fandango by voting now with the best villain actor of all time contest. There are ways to win tickets to Universal, all kinds of stuff at monsters.fm, so go check it out when you get a chance. I'm Russ Rollins, host of the program, and with everyone this morning, we're going to do this until 11 o'clock. Here's the GOAT Repping Champion of Palaga, Florida, Dirty Jim.
Hello.
Our producer is the Angel of Boom, Angel Rivera.
Go, loco.
To my right is Mr. Motivation, Carlos Navarro.
To the top member side, baby.
You can text our show. People are already texting us. We appreciate that. It's 77031. When you save it in your phone, you always can text. You can text all the shows, but I can only speak for us. We get back at you every once in a while during the breaks, and sometimes even while we're live on the air, we'll talk back at you. So, text us at 77031, and we appreciate that. Emailing me, easy, just russ@wtks.com. And when you email me, if you want me to do a shout-out, I love listening and seeing all the different people that listen from all over the country, all over the world. It's kind of cool to see. So if you want me to give you a shout-out, russ@wtks.com. And if you've got an email you want us to handle a particular situation on the air and give you our opinions, I have one actually for later on today. But you still have time. If you want to type one up, it'll be 5 hours from now. We can still get to it, I'm sure. It's russ@wtks.com. And then at 8 o'clock, we'll open up the phones. Open phones at 8 so you can give us a call, and if you got something you want to talk to us about, anything, if you want to correct us, if you want to talk about something we talked about yesterday or 3 days ago or last week or whatever, or you want to ask us a question, around 8 o'clock or so, we'll open up the phones to do that. We got meat of the week today.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, and it's a goodie.
We got meat, yeah. Good meat.
Hot dog?
Yeah, they're in the giving us one particular thing right now, and it benefits you guys greatly.
All right, good.
Have that today?
I'm down for that. You know, I tried to explain to my wife this morning, because I was talking about those Cuban hot dogs.
Oh, man, I'm still thinking about it.
She's like, what was on them? I said, well, I know I had bread, and I know I had hot dog. I don't know what else
was on.
It's
a Cuban sandwich, man. Swiss cheese, mustard.
It did.
I had the slice of ham on there, the mustard and everything. We recreated those last night.
Did you really?
Oh, did you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
you loved them, didn't you?
Oh, they were fantastic.
She loved it?
Yeah, and it was actually what was fun about it, because we used the Foreman on it, and that's cooking device that she's allowed to use.
Yeah, oh, nice.
So she's done grilled cheeses and stuff on that.
Yeah.
So we got everything out, and I showed her how to do it, and so she kind of built the thing herself, and it was great, man.
Get that bread crunchy though, right?
Yeah, that was the thing you said, to make sure you get it toasted, like very similar to that you would do on a Cuban sandwich, and it came out really good.
Now, is that her George Foreman, or is that
okay? So I have the smaller one that it's easy for her to use and whatnot. So she cooks her bacon on there. She does she does her grilled cheese. It's hers.
Do you remember?
It's so funny when I was that age. I mean, that was one of the things I've told the story before and a million times or whatever. But I was able to take back a present I got for like my birthday or something, because it didn't work right. My mom said, "Well, get anything you want, another press." And I'm over there in the toy section. I look over, and there's the Presto burger.
Oh yeah, dude.
And I went and got me a Presto burger. My mom's like, "You want a Presto burger?" I'm like, "Yeah, mom, I want a Presto burger." And it was the greatest thing, because it was an adult thing, and I could make hamburgers, and I would make them for my friend. I was 8 years old. My friends would come over. I'm like, "Let me make you a Presto burger." And I was a burger making fool, man. But she probably loves having her own thing like that, right?
So the weekends that I have her, that's our thing, and she's used to seeing me in the kitchen make breakfast for her and everything, so she wanted to become a part of it. So
that's great.
Just giving her small things that are easy to handle.
Sure.
So she cooks her bacon on there. She does, like I said, her grilled cheese, and it's very much that, because like when her cousins come over, she's like, "This is my George Foreman.
This is mine. Yeah,
this
yeah.
is the one that I and everything." So it's I can see the parallel in that 100%.
Isn't that funny?
That's really cool. Was it just me at the time that this machine became so popular that I felt like everybody had a Foreman grill.
Well, they did. I mean, he did extremely well with it.
You went to somebody's house and it was sitting out like it was just like a common thing that everybody had. I mean,
I think 100%. I think there's a point where they were like, I mean, everywhere, because it seemed like they were also coming out with new George Foreman kind of devices and everything.
Yeah.
But I also don't think they've fallen off as much as we think they have.
I don't think so either.
But the thought process behind a George Foreman is it's got that little tilt, right? So all the fat drains out. And really, as we have learned, fat is flavor. Oh, yeah, so really, it's not.
You don't want that going anywhere.
It's not the best tasting, you know, thing.
Well, if you season it good, and I think if you do it right, it all, like, for example, if you're watching, you know, you're eating your 4 ounces of protein, those kinds of things, it's the perfect kind of device to.
4 ounces of protein.
That's the best joke of the day, dude. Good job.
Hey, man. I was inspired by Carlos.
What's
I've been
up,
working
dude?
Out.
How you feel,
I've been
bro?
Working out. Oh, that's a Hebrew. Right?
I've been eating berries, a lot of berries.
You have not.
Yeah, I got berries in my bag.
We got our shirtless photo shoot coming in December.
Hell yeah, bro. Latin lovers.
Hell yeah, dude. That's awesome.
Yeah, we're looking good. Bro, Rush, where you at, bro?
Yeah, what's up, man?
I'm right here with you. I'm feeling good.
Yeah, I'm feeling
the tan towers. I like it.
I said, you know what? I'll go buy bigger shirts. I feel fine. I feel good. What the hell?
What'd you eat last night, Russ?
You know what? My wife gets these, like, she's like, I got a craving. I'm like, what is it? And it was
watermelon and cream cheese.
No, it was, and I've never had it before. What's it called? Clams and noodles.
Linguine and clams.
Yeah.
I've never ordered that either.
And I've never ordered it. I've never had. She goes, oh, I love linguine and clams. I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. And she made it, and it was good.
Oh, yeah. Delicious, man.
It's a good clam, man. It's real good. With good crusty bread to soak up the broth when you make it.
I've never ordered that.
There was a lot of butter, and I'm like, baby, you're trying to get me fat. This.
Yeah, because I always see people order, and I always think it's cool when, it's like linguine. Yeah, like mostly like Italian places, right?
It came in a big bowl. I'm like, God, that's a lot. I'm not going to eat all that. And then the next thing I know, I'm like, son of a bitch. I'm like, you want me to be fat, right?
It's like a wine butter sauce with clams, so it has that little tinge of seafood. And if the clams are good, they're clean.
And then I was informed
that bright flavoring.
I guess you don't drink red wine with it. You're supposed to drink white wine with
it.
That's what we did. And but it was so good. It's the first time I had linguine and clams or whatever.
Yeah. That's a good meal, man.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, it is.
But I mean, there's nothing in the world like getting to that broth and just having that broth
just with
your bread. Oh, God.
I keep saying,
why did every segment on the first
nothing. We've been extra hot this past week with the food talk in the first segment.
Well, because I'm off my diet, right? So everything goes. But
you're off of it now.
Well, you know what? I go on those trends or those things when I'm on a diet. But we won't talk about food.
But I never know because we just came to the conclusion you just like the taste of hydroxycut.
Yeah.
I mean, he's
gaining weight from the sugar from the hydroxycut.
The irony of you coming in here every day like you're going to the gym is almost too much.
I figure if I dress like it, I got more of a chance of going.
If you happen to have a fall and stumble into the gym, oh, look, I'm here.
I'm a gigantic fan of that thought process, by the way. Don't get me wrong, I really am.
There are times that it works, you know. it's just not working anymore. I'm driving home like, you know, I probably could use sleep more than the gym.
Oh,
my God. Look, people say sleeping. I know this
people are saying.
People are saying. I wouldn't. People are saying that getting a good amount of sleep is almost better for you than a 30-minute workout.
Wait a minute, I misspoke. Did I say I was going to the gym? I meant to say I was going to the gym.
Richard Marks.
That's what I meant to say.
Richard Marks had the best. Did you see his tweet yesterday about it?
Richard Marks?
Yeah, he tweeted.
He had a fire tweet.
He goes, the whole time I meant I wouldn't go, I would go, or something with you as part of a song lyric. And do that thing get like 200,000 likes.
That's funny.
His song, I Will Wait For You. Yeah. He said, what I meant was, I will not wait for you.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
It was too
you can just
funny.
Take anything now and say, no, I misspoke.
It's
I meant
so funny.
To say the exact opposite of what the... It's funny, so. But anyway.
There's trainers all over East Orlando that are just like, oh, look at these guys. They just stumbled in here. They didn't know they were going to work out today.
Here's my thought process. My thought process, no sense in going to the gym until you actually decide to start eating right. Because if you're not going to eat right, then going to the gym.
Exactly. Who cares about that? Yeah.
I looked at...
definitely no benefit to starting to go to the gym. I can rationalize this with you, Russ, as well.
Thank you very much.
It's summertime for me. Summertime.
My wife
summertime
said,
isn't a great time to get going.
I wonder if there's a scientific way, like an equation to prove whether or not you should actually stop or, you know, start eating before you, in other words, start eating better before you go to the gym, or if it's better to do both of them at the same time. In other words, just like draw a line in the sand and go, look, I'm going to not only get on a great diet, I'm also going to start working out. I bet people who try to tackle both
at
fail
the same
more.
Time, that's what I think too, and that's what I said yesterday, because my wife, because she comes home for lunch and goes back to work, and she's like, are you going to go to the gym today? I said, I just had a hot dog and a big ham sandwich. It makes no sense.
It actually makes the most sense. I've already ruined
it. And you're making linguine and clam sauce later on. Why go to the gym? I'm just going to lay here.
100% with you on this.
And look at me. I'm hot as hell.
You know, you love me anyway. What do I care?
Women love to hear that. Oh. I know. If there's one thing women love to hear.
Oh, I'm throwing that down left and right.
You love me anyway.
So, what does it matter? I'm like, if you're concerned about my weight, then you fix stuff that.
I didn't marry a paramedic for no reason. This is first alert stuff. If I go, you're on my chest pumping.
Look, I know I need to get there. I'm just not there yet. And I'm thinking, I'm going away this weekend. Why start a diet now? I'm going to be eating on the weekend. Maybe when I get back.
Everybody's eating on the weekend.
Russ, you're speaking like 98% of the world. Okay,
this is really what I'm thinking.
We all do the same thing. I'm doing the same. I mean, I'm getting back in the habit of it.
I'm going on vacation.
So in other words, we all sound like drug addicts.
Yeah.
While I'm on vacation, am I going to stick to a diet on vacation? No.
No.
We're going to a wedding. We're drinking.
It's called vacation. Look, I'm with you.
I'm driving. I don't know how many miles. That means I got to have combos. I got to have corn nuts. And
beef
I got to have beef jerky. Yeah, you know?
You don't drink much soda, right?
No, I won't. Yes, I will drink soda. It's a vacation.
I can't remember if you drink soda or not.
I have several vacation sodas.
I don't normally, when I'm on diet mode, I won't drink. I'll just drink water.
But I didn't know, even in normal life, I didn't even know that you were much of a soda drinker. Like, if somebody asked me what your favorite soda is right now, I would not be able to tell them.
Diet Coke.
There you go.
I'll drink a twist.
And that twist is bacon.
But yeah, I was like, oh,
the
man.
The new flavor Diet Coke are fabulous.
And I sit there and I look, and of course, I've been going, we talked about being financially, more alert, or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm going through my, and I'm like, man, they charged me again for that U-Fit. I haven't been there in 2 months. I probably need to go back. Is that a gym?
Yeah, U-Fit.
Yeah. And I like the gym. It's just that
whenever you're doing it.
I don't want to go back in there because I always say hi to the guy who's a fan of the show.
Right.
And I know I've gained weight since I saw him last.
Hey, yo, Russ, where the hell you been?
That old volunteer spot?
I know they'll be judging me as soon as I walk in.
Well, when you do that little boop in the front, they look and it pops up, when's the last time you've been in there, right? That's when they do that little wave.
When you belly bump the door open.
Yeah, I know. And not too long ago, it was about 6 months ago, I wore those really Duke shorts,
And
I was all proud because I'm skinny as hell, but now I was like, I couldn't put them on one leg if I wanted to right now.
They're like an old pair of 89 Umbros.
Oh, man. I just get big quick. It's just slowly.
No, man, this is a slow progress.
It's a carousel of progress. It keeps going around and around and around, and it goes back and goes back and back.
Now is the time, okay?
Now is the best time.
Not now. I'm going on vacation this weekend. I'll be in Birmingham, Alabama. I'm not going to be on diet in Birmingham. That don't make no sense, does it?
You can't even say diet in Birmingham, can you?
We'll shoot you down if you say diet.
You say diet, yoga,
or tofu, we shoot.
And there are more fast food restaurants in Alabama than any other state.
Right.
That's
insane, man.
Yeah, so, I mean, no diet this week.
I think you're going to like it, though. I hope there's something going on in the evening where you guys can go out, because I hear it's a bastion of good music up there.
Oh, is there?
I mean, a lot of good blues. That's what I hear.
You know what? Don't know what to expect. I know this couple's excited that we're coming up there.
And they're very nice, too.
You're going to have a blast.
He's going to have a blast.
He said he told his DJ for the wedding to make sure he has, like, you got to have Detroit Rock City, you got to have Rock and Roll All Night. He's thinking something like all these Kiss songs to make sure he has something. Hey,
out of curiosity, are they going to be the only ones that know who you are, like, or know what you do here in town? Or do you know if the wedding party are fans, or if, like, any friends of his are fans?
Well, a couple of his friends have sent me messages and said, oh my God, he's fangirling out so much, you're coming.
That's fine.
You know, and I'm like, that's fine. We promised him we would, and it's
a chill pill, dude.
If it wasn't this being his wedding, it was something else, you would have to goof him hard, right? Like, you'd have to come dressed like an old Texas cowboy or wearing suspenders or something. Like, you'd have to really kind of make him look like a bitch to all of his boys.
Honestly, I went and looked. Remember those powder blue tuxes that we were given a long time ago?
Yeah, like the Dumb and Dumber things, right?
You had one, and used it for a Halloween costume one time.
Yeah, I burned it up and made it look like I got into a bad car crash as a prom king.
I thought I still had mine, and I went looking for it, because I'm like, it would be funny if I showed up in that tux, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And we were going to do a goof like that, but I couldn't find it, so... And it probably wouldn't fit anyway. So what the hell? Right. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning.
Threw that in.
Take a ride on the Bipolar Express. Now here's the number.
Toll free, 888-978-1041.
Real Radio.
104.1.
Real Radio. 104.1.
Chance to win tickets for two to the Monster Fan Appreciation Show will be coming up in a little bit at 7 o'clock. We'll do the Triple R segment at 7. Your chance to win some there. And also at 9 o'clock, if you go and look for the Daily 5 at monsters.fm, we had a winner yesterday. We had a winner yesterday on the Daily 5. They saw their name. They got a hold of Blog and Molly right away. And they're a winner of tickets for two. We will be at Universal Studios Orlando on August the 4th. That is a Saturday. We're taking over the radio station, so playing music that day. And we'll party with you at Universal Studios. We'll go have lunch at the Monster Cafe, and it'll be a great time. So, you know, if you want to win those tickets, just keep listening. Welcome back. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos, all here today. We were talking about, I'm answering people on the texting service at 77031, and someone asked, hey, Russ, were you always in the front of the line for lunch in school? And the answer was yes. You know me, I don't like to be late to things. Even though I was a kid, I would always be, for at least that's the way I remember it, and I bring that up because there's a new story out now that says your earliest childhood memories may be fake. According to a new study, 40% of us, and it's 40%, actually think we remember things that did not happen in our childhood.
Wow.
That people will mistake stuff they dreamed about as reality, and that 40% of us, some of our earliest childhood memories never really happened. Huh.
That's crazy.
So, okay, and then it talks about some of your, and like the there are people that claim they remember riding in a stroller, or they remember being with a particular toy with their family and stuff, and they're saying that that stuff didn't happen. What do you believe is your earliest memory?
I have one that I think is a memory, but then it's also a photo, so I also think that I just remember the photo,
yes.
Right? And I'm standing at the top of the stairs in New York, and we moved from New York before I was 6.
Uh-huh.
And it's like before Christmas, but other than that, it pretty much jumps to 7th grade, meeting my buddy Ziggy. Those are about the earliest memories.
That's all the earliest memories, yeah.
I mean, seriously, my memory gets really foggy until people trigger it, and I'm like, oh, yeah. And then I start remembering stuff, so I totally believe that.
Huh. Well, Angel, your earliest memories that you believe you remember... But you have to question it.
Like, I'm not one of those cats that remembers. Like, I don't remember stuff like from infancy. I don't, you know, those kind of things. I do remember our time. The first base that I recollect, and the first memories I think of when as a kid, I remember our time living in Spain. I remember the base that my dad was stationed at in Spain. I remember there's specific.
How old is that?
That's probably three or four years old.
Do you remember pictures that you may have seen?
No, because some of the stuff that I remember, we don't have photographs of. Like, I remember our apartment, the apartment that we lived in, because I was one of the first bases that we didn't live on base. I remember the nanny. I remember, like, there's specific events and things that happened.
Have you gone back to that same place to see it? Because I think that's 40% connects to why whenever you go back to something that you were at as a kid, you always go back and go, man, this seems a lot smaller.
Because you're an adult at that time.
And then just the way that you kind of your memory also of it all, you know, it maybe makes it bigger. I don't know, but that's crazy.
Earliest memory you think that you remember.
God, I was thinking the whole time you guys were talking what it could be. I remember almost drowning one time, twice actually. My parents were unsuccessful.
Stop.
Damn.
I fell out of a boat in the Ocklawaha River, and it is a oil dark. body of water. It's like that tannic water. I mean, hyper, like orange black. And my dad retrieved me by reaching under the water and grabbing me by my hair. As if I were a basketball and pull me out of the water.
You'd
instead of me in the boat.
That's what happened. Huh?
And then got mad at me. Super logical.
You fell backwards or something?
Yeah, was in a tiny little aluminum boat and lost my balance and fell over.
How old are you?
God, three?
Oh,
four?
Damn.
And then I remember.
Pulled you out by your hair, huh?
Yeah. That's what happened. Yeah, she's right. Scalped me. And then the other thing was I remember in a bathtub. I actually fell asleep in a bathtub when I was really young, and that had to have been in the 5 or 6 range. And because I just remember my mom losing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, she walked out for a second. I either fell asleep, slipped down, or whatever, and she thought I was going to be drowned. Again, unsuccessful. Good try, Mom.
Yeah.
Get you next time. But yeah, I remember those things.
I think the earliest memory, and of course, mine has to be related to food, but I remember when I was a kid, and my dad would, for whatever reason, we lived on Edgewater Drive then, and that was way, way, way a long time ago, they would collect all the garbage and take the garbage to the dump. For whatever reason, we didn't have a garbage man. I don't know we'd get collected all. And I remember taking those trips to the dump with my dad and us stopping at Publix and getting pepper loaf. And my mom would say, get pepper loaf. And we'd come back with only one piece of pepper loaf in there. And then the joke would be, Mom, I think a rat ate all the pepper loaf. Like that. And I specifically remember sitting in the old truck and laughing because we were going to fool Mom with the pepper loaf.
Oh, the old pepper loaf trick. Oh, Andy Griffith would sure get a kick out of this.
They actually did an episode off of that.
The old pepper loaf trick.
Oh, here I come.
But I'm wondering, and now it's, you know, maybe that memory isn't right. It says, all, you know, let your memories be. Well, it says 40% of the people, their memories are fake.
How about within your family? Because there's a huge, within my family, there is a huge, whenever this topic gets brought up, this specific story, it gets heated because I have a particular member of my family who remembers this a specific way. Remembers a punishment of a specific way that she insists that this is how we were all punished as kids.
Okay.
Now, the only person that remembers this and is like vehement about it is.
It's your sister.
It's my sister.
Yeah, okay. Okay, I can understand this.
So this is different times throughout the years, this has been brought up, right? Now, when my brother was alive, even now, we never, like, that never happened. We remember the story of our great grandmother doing this to our aunts and to my mom when they were
what kind of discipline are we talking
Jesus
about?
All right, so this is old school, old school.
This is not the chancleta.
No, this is this is even worse than the chancleta.
Oh my god!
And this is Taina grandma, very native, old school and everything.
Oh, I can't wait
to
hear this.
To punish my aunts, my mom included, and all them when they were misbehaving.
Yeah.
Again, remember, overtly heavy Catholic.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
She would make them kneel in rice.
I've heard of that.
That's
right?
A Catholic thing.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
They just did that.
Catholic guilt is fierce, dude.
They just used that scene in Handmaid's Tale.
Did they really?
Yeah, as a punishment for one of the handmaids that didn't do what they were supposed to, they put the rice down and said, you kneel on the rice.
What? Is that just hurt like hell?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
You haven't done that before?
Oh, the other one back.
Imagine if you were kneeling just on little rocks or a little.
I mean, I just never thought about that before. That's crazy.
It's pretty brutal. The other thing was on a broomstick.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, in other words, rest your knees on a broomstick. It's bad news.
Meniscus.
So the story is that, all right, so we remember that story as kids. Hey, listen, quit being a jackass. If you do that, you're going to have to kneel in rice, right? And so my sister remembers, a time where we all, that punishment was used on us. And I'm like, it never happened. That didn't happen. I remember the story. How is it that you're the only one that remembers being punished that way? And even to this day, that story gets brought up, straight up fight.
Yeah, my sister does the same thing towards me. She doubts all of my stories. She's like, that didn't happen. You don't remember. And like,
that doesn't sound annoying.
Every time we're in there, she's like, that's not how it happened. And I'm like, but she's never partied, so I think she has all her brain cells.
So you're going to get her involved on this one.
I just kind of look at her.
A little bit.
And I go like, yeah, that could have been the Wonder Years. That could have, like, a lot of my life, I somewhat confused with Paul and Kevin.
And I have to tell you, I think you probably hit on something. I bet most of this study, if you went back and looked at it really, really, is it's really you're blending memories together to create a memory that didn't exist because you only can remember fractions of each event.
Yeah.
Well, so whereas you're like, oh, yeah, there's no question this happened. But yet you could have been watching the Wonder Years. It could have been parallel to something that was close.
Right.
And you just injected yourself into the situation. And you remember, your brain's still developing.
Yeah.
Texting service at 77031 asking, is it 40% of the people or 40% of the memories? I'll read it right here. It says, according to a new study out of the University of London, about 40% of us, those early childhood memories are probably fake. So that's 40% of the people. Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me at all, man. You know, like just the way things are progressing. Basically now all of our memories are on our phone. Okay, we have an external hard drive to our brain. And I was watching an interview with this futurist, a guy who has basically been 80% correct on everything that happens. And we're essentially running an early version software on in our system, okay, and with our brain. And that's why we can't remember that as much of stuff. And as time progresses, we will be able to, every single little memory that we want to go back to, we will be able to access it.
You know what's really funny, and not funny, odd, is that people have Alzheimer's. They start to forget things, but they forget the most recent stuff,
right,
and they remember the older stuff. So they'll remember, you know, friends and aunts and uncles and people from a long time ago who may have passed,
right,
but people just, you know, they just saw 3 weeks ago, can't remember. It's weird how
I have a hard time remembering who you are.
I have to tell you, you hit on something that actually just gave me chills. By the way, the show is The Center with Jessica Biel, where they did that. Have you seen that show yet?
No.
Dude, she's nominated for an Emmy for it.
Center?
It's called Center on Netflix. Yeah. Check it out. It's really cool. It's like a murder mystery throughout the entire thing. It's almost like the Amanda Knox type thing, where you can watch it and it just kind of goes and goes. Really good show, but they use that in that. That's part of her upbringing, is the rice thing when she does it on her own. So just to give you an idea, that's how you blend. I mean, I'm now and I just blended a memory together. I've said for years that I remember seeing my grandfather in my grandmother's house when he had cancer as he was dying.
Right.
Uh-huh. I remember it honestly, like I could draw you a photograph of it. Here's the problem. I wasn't even around the house at that time. I think we were actually living out of state when my grandfather passed. I was not there, and everybody in my family swears, Jimmy, you were not there. You were not there. But, man, like I could draw it right now. I know how the bedroom is set up.
Yeah.
There's no closet in my grandmother's house bedroom because it's so old, they actually had to get an armoire because there are no closets in the house.
But there's a possibility they're remembering it wrong, too. You know?
Yeah, but you got to remember, everybody else has a memory that I wasn't there, but I remember looking at him and seeing him emaciated, cancered, eating him alive.
Now, they're saying you could have dreamed about it, and that's what you think your memory is.
And that may be the case, but I'm sitting here like with chill bumps thinking, wow, this is an argument I've had with my family for a very long time. Like,
is there a photo of that moment?
No, man. No? I mean, okay. No, there wouldn't have been, but I remember going in there and seeing him, and this is a guy I didn't like.
Yeah.
This is a guy hit me in the face.
Oh, yeah.
A couple times.
But see, now
swung five times, though. I dodged him three times.
10 years from now, that conversation won't be had because you go, dude, pull it up. Boom. Boom. There it is. See, you weren't even there.
Yeah.
Here's the last photo of Grandpa, you know?
Like, similar to what Jimmy's saying, have you caught yourself, have you ever recognized that within your family lore, the history of your family, that you've incorporated stories that have been passed on, and you start telling them or incorporate those, and, like, you've been there?
Yeah.
Like, you were part of it? And then you've got people looking at you like, dude, you weren't even born.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Because you've been told the story so often that you start making the image in your mind of what it must have looked like.
I was like, I was right there.
And that's why I always say this, that if it weren't for the fact that my sister and my mother were at that thing where I saw an unidentified flying
object.
I would convince myself that I just dreamed that. You know, I would not think that I really saw it, but... it's a pretty interesting study, though. 407-916-1041. You're listening to The Monster of the Morning.
Orlando City marches to Discovery City to clash with Columbus Crew SC this Saturday. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. on our sister station, FM 96.9, The Game, AM 740, and iHeartRadio.
To the Monsters in the Morning on Real Radio 104.1, broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. Website's monsters.fm, and you can win tickets to Universal by going there and checking out. And also, you can win tickets to to $100 for Fandango if you vote in the best villain actor of all time poll that we have on the website at monsters.fm. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. Of course, tomorrow, Dirty Jim will have the Jim Colbert Show at 3 o'clock. And we're going to be live tomorrow on YouTube all day, just so you know. So, how important do you think a catchphrase is to a business, or, you know, like a slogan or a catchphrase is to a business?
I think it's gigantic.
Big deal, right?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty big deal.
Huge. It's huge.
I always say this, jingles work. Catchphrases work.
Yes.
Time and time again. It is ultra, ultra, uber important.
So if somebody stole or took your catchphrase that you'd been using for a long, long time, would you be upset? Do you have a reason to sue? Do you have a reason to be upset?
A tough one.
Unless you protected it, unless you trademarked that particular statement or that particular use of words, I believe that I would be super pissed and probably immediately file a lawsuit, a cease and desist.
And I'll tell you where there was one that I thought was going to end up being an issue. You know the guy that's got what's it called? Fun World, I think it is.
Yeah.
And it's huge, right?
Yeah.
Well, there was another guy that was selling Kias or something, and he started saying, it's huge. Like
I remember that.
Like, oh, they're both using that catchphrase.
Yeah, but he goes, it's huge.
Yeah, he has a guttural kind of.
And the other one says, it's huge. Yeah. But it's the same words, right? I thought there was going to be some sort of issue. And then the Kia dealership, I don't see them advertising anymore, so I don't know, I don't know what happened. But what if somebody took a slogan or a catchphrase that has been used for 30 years, and as soon as I say it, you know exactly who it is?
Yeah, I saw the story yesterday. It's pretty crazy.
If I say "for the people," who do you think of?
John Morgan.
Dog bite.
John Morgan, right? Right.
Trademark bite.
So guess who stole his slogan?
Oh, God, who?
The Democratic Party for the state of Florida.
Yeah.
They're going to start using "for the people." And do you know what John Morgan said?
Yeah.
Suing their ass.
He said,
hell, use it.
Fine with me. That's free advertising.
As soon
as you say it, everybody knows John Morgan. You're
not going to think of the Democratic Party.
No.
You're going to think of John Morgan.
And that is brilliant, man.
Wow.
And he would not have this attitude if it were the Republican Party.
No.
You don't think?
No. He would be suing them immediately.
Yeah.
He's a giant Democrat supporter. I mean, he's had Democrat presidents and...
But didn't he get out of the Democratic Party?
In the last months, leading up to the talk that he may have run, he bowed out of... I think he said he's an independent. Independent,
yeah.
But no, he is one of he's probably the biggest Democratic donor in the South.
Yeah, he's actually one of the biggest fundraisers for the party over the last probably three elections, and has had presidents and dignitaries at his house on many occasions. Actually, I think former President Obama was there twice in one year.
Yeah,
you met Bill Clinton there. So, I mean, you're well aware of this guy's power. I mean, it's far-reaching, well beyond Florida. Actually, well beyond the Southeast. The guy's money's known nationwide.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
He's a big deal.
Even with all that, Jimmy, I do wonder if the Republican Party used it. Even with all that, I wonder. I mean, I don't know.
Says because it's free advertising, he's fine with it.
Yeah, free advertising from somebody he supports. But if it was free advertising from a side of the aisle that he does not support, I would probably say that even looking at John doesn't need free advertising. Let's face it. John's fine. John's made his money, and he'll continue making money with his sons following in his footsteps. I would think that he would never want his name associated with that particular party based on his stances in the past.
John Morgan tweeted about it yesterday, and he said, the Declaration of Independence stole it from George Washington. Dude, I love that guy. I gotta tell you, John Morgan's funny as hell.
Speaking of catchphrases, is there one that stands out as like someone did something, the shrewdest move on a catchphrase?
The shrewdest move, what do you mean?
For example, to this day,
a play on it?
Check this out. So to this day, who do you think owns the word or the rights to the word three-peat?
Oh, it's
Pat Riley.
Pat Riley.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he did that. He copywrote that the year. I mean, Lakers go back-to-back, and he's like, we're going to win again. He's doing that in the March, the parade back in Los Angeles. He says we're going to win again, whatnot. He goes out and copyrights the word three-peat.
And what
anytime the word three-peat is used or put on a shirt or anything, like when the
book, great.
They're paying him.
It's the same thing we have to deal with during certain season. Hey, let's go watch the big game.
Yeah.
It's not the Super Bowl, it's the big game. How many times we get told over the last years, somebody, when they trademark the words Super Bowl so that you have to kind of bow to the way they want you to say it or whatever.
Right.
They've done that as well.
What's the one, is there one that over your lifetime that stands out the most, catchphrase?
For the People is a pretty good one. The one is Ready to Rumble. Are you ready to rumble?
As you were talking about, I was trying to guess. Like, I wonder if it's this. Is this the first one I came up with? To me, in my lifetime, it's one of the most iconic. Just Do It.
Just do it.
Yeah, have a Coke and a smile.
Yeah, you know, here in Orlando, like local ones, you know, tires ain't pretty. Tires ain't pretty. That guy was. I mean, he was on a roll for a while with that.
Yeah, you paid too much.
You paid too much.
Sam Pock, right? With the appliance stores, Appliance Direct for many years here in Central Florida.
No, they still do that one, right?
I haven't seen him in a long time.
Yeah, I think I saw the other day. You pay too much, yeah.
They're built to do that. You know, I mean, built Ford Tough, or is that what it is? Or is it built Ford Tough? Like a Highway. I mean, the Chevrolet took the Bob Seger tune and made that into their thing.
Like a Rock?
Like
a Rock, yeah. They got that one.
Yeah, a Ram Tough. That's what it is. Not Ford. Is it Ram Tough?
It's Ram Tough.
Yeah.
You can't get the catchphrase right.
But the thing is some of them, like the ones that are from your childhood are the ones I think I remember the most.
Yeah.
You know, like Have a Coke and a Smile.
Yeah. Couldn't think of any other.
Hey, Kool-Aid. They can yell the name of the company, though.
Yeah. Hey, Cooley.
I like jingles. Double A,
MCO.
Snap, Crack, and Pop.
So you think if it were...
They have a bunch of them.
How about Where's the Beef?
Where's the Beef?
Yeah. If it were the Republican Party, you think John Morgan would have a problem with it?
I would probably say yes, but I do kind of wonder if they would... That'd be quite the position to put him in, to sue, and because then, you know, a bunch of his clients are Republican.
They are a bunch of his clients, but it's his firm, and I would just think that he probably wouldn't want that associated with that. I know
he met with Donald Trump.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't
see those guys being best pals.
Yeah, but I mean, look at what we've seen in the past with people with bands. You know, the Republican Party tried to use a couple songs or whatever, and the band sued them immediately. But yet, Fleetwood Mac had no problem with Bill Clinton, or who was it? I'm going to go my own way, or whatever.
Don't
stop believing.
Don't
I'm sorry.
Stop aren't, thinking about Mike, tomorrow.
That's it. That was
don't,
Clinton, right?
That was Clinton. Yeah,
that was Dukakis.
Was it?
No.
But they didn't sue because they agreed with them.
Yeah,
when people who don't. You know, who don't have like-minded thought processes are using their songs. You're like, no, you can't. But I think Springsteen just did it,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. But, yeah. No, I totally get that. But, you know, those are artists, and this is John Morgan. But like I said, I agree with you. I think he would probably say something. But
so think about this. So if John Morgan were to have been offended by it, and he goes to try to make the Democratic Party stop using the term For the People, then he's the villain, right? Then he's the bad guy. It makes him seem like small.
I'm the bad guy.
I think people would probably understand because, I mean, you know, especially with John, because his presence is so powerful in Central Florida, you can't drive a mile without seeing his face on a billboard or reading that slogan or hearing it on television or even on radio.
Right.
So I think everybody would understand. Yeah, that guy spent 30 years building the value in that.
That belongs to John.
Yeah. I think it's on his building.
Here's
the
other thing that people don't recognize in regards to John Morgan. He is the Southeast. Yeah. Like, you go to Atlanta. I've seen his billboards in Atlanta. I've seen his billboards as far as North Carolina, South Carolina.
They were in Savannah, Georgia when I was there.
So
they were in Panama City Beach.
He and his brand are larger than just the state of Florida.
Oh, all of those Wonder Works are his. Like, so now,
did he create the kind of way lawyers present themselves now? Like the promotional style of putting your face in everywhere? Is he the predecessor?
I think the first, believe it or not, I believe that format, and I'm not saying this just because, but I believe that Jacobson Goodman.
Oh, right.
Remember back when we used to be the lawyer here, and of course, Glenn Klosman was part of those guys. I think they were the first guys, like back in the 80s, to create that kind of big advertising push for
and
attorneys.
Bogan and Munns, too, I remember.
Yeah, Bogan, Munns, and Munns, and all those guys. Yeah, there are a number of them. And then, of course, once they realized it was very effective, they came on with more money and more lawyers, and, you know, John's one of those guys that will do that.
And then he spawned the rest of those Nation and all these other ones that are around. You know,
remember John Smart, though? John hires very good attorneys. Like, I know for a fact there are a couple of firms that are around here that had their best guy hired away from them.
Well, yeah. Like, when I went to see John Morgan in his office right next to him is Judge Belvin Perry. Right. And then two ways down, it's the former governor, Charlie Crist.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, it's like who's who? Yeah. And they're all working in their office. And I'm like, that's Belvin Perry. He goes, I know, he works for me.
one of the firms that I worked with a while back had a medical malpractice guy. That was one of the best in this region. And it took them about, I think, 6 months to get hired away. You know, and they just offer you a better deal is what it is. I mean, they say, hey, your percentages are better here. Just come, you know, just set up here.
One of the Kennedys works there.
Really?
Yeah. It's like he's there. You got some of the biggest.
Who, Tito Kennedy?
I think it's Tito Kennedy.
He played bass.
I never heard
one of the Kennedys works.
Well, I mean,
there.
There's so many Kennedys. That's cool, though.
And I think what a lot of people also don't understand, and I believe this is right. God, I don't think I'm speaking out of turn here. I think there are a number of the people that are also pretty famous in Orlando, and I won't name names, but they have their own firms, and their names are big as well, that are under John's umbrella.
They used to work for him.
I think how it works out is they have part of his resources.
No, I don't think some of these dudes, some of these were very cold cut. Some of these were like, oh, really? You're going to go do your thing?
Yeah.
Maybe. Well, I'll see you on the other side. I don't think some of them were like, okay, nice, but I know for sure because I know firsthand accounts of how it went down. Uh-huh. It was not nice.
Now, there's no question that happens, but I know two in town two in town that were definitely under that. But in other words, they have access to his resources.
Sure.
Because in the world of big time law, like when you want that giant settlement, you have to litigate for a while.
And that
costs a lot of money. You have to have a lot of money to do that. And the reason why big firms like that are very attractive to people who have massive lawsuits, you see the billboards, is because they have tons of resources and they can fight big clients who have giant attorneys on retainer for a long period of time.
I'm sending Morgan an email right now. He usually gets back to me right away. We'll see if we can get him to call in. Interesting to see.
Question on a totally different note, but yet same note. Anybody stuck with Better Call Saul? Anybody stuck with that show?
No, have not. I saw the spots for it, and it looks crazy.
No,
than
it's
ever.
Awesome.
Is it?
Yeah, it's on Netflix. It's really real. I mean, like sneaky good.
All right, man. I'm looking for something.
It's the same writer and the same dude from Breaking Bad.
Dude.
And it's good. Where I'm at now, we're right as we're getting into where.
Have you seen Bryan Cranston and the characters yet?
No. The only guys that you've seen so far
is Mike.
He's a huge part of it. And then in the season that I'm in, you start seeing what's the name from Los Pollos.
The
chicken store.
The boss.
Esposito. Dang, I forgot his name.
Giancarlo Esposito.
Giancarlo. I just start seeing his.
So it's pretty well. I know that now. I believe it's in Better Call Saul. They're bringing back, what's his name, Pinkman?
I think they're going to catch up eventually.
This is all the precursor to what happens in Breaking Bad. It's
Breaking
all the
Bad,
lead up to it. It's how Better Call, or how Saul becomes Saul.
We're season three?
Season three, yeah.
I thought, let
me see what this is about and everything. And what's awesome is that when we see Saul in Breaking Bad, he's at the height.
Right.
Of his,
he's the guy
and everything. This is when he's grinding it out.
Yeah.
And slowly you see the things that happen in his life as he gets there, what ends up, why he becomes what he becomes when we get introduced to him in Breaking Bad.
Dude, right. I'm telling you, don't sleep on Sinner. If you haven't seen it, you have to watch it. Nominated for an Emmy. Jessica Biel does a great job. It's a, what?
I thought you said Center.
No, Sinner. S-I-N-N-E-R.
I was like, man, I never even heard of Center, but I had heard of Sinner, and I will check that out.
You guys saw Juliet Barnes came back to Nashville. You guys saw that, right?
Also, Carlos, you want to watch it?
I have no idea what you just said. I don't even know the words.
Have you watched Glow yet?
I watched the first couple episodes. I thought it was pretty cool.
You have to give it a chance. You're a podcast fan. I know that.
Yeah, I watched the whole thing. It's good.
Massive Marc Maron fan.
I like Marc
Maron. Will be amazed because, I mean, the guy's not known for, like, acting chops. But, man, he's
really
incredibly
good.
And there's a transformation there I think you'll appreciate as an actor.
All right, your chance to win tickets for two. To our big, it's going to be a big show. It's the Monster Fan Appreciation Day at Universal Orlando. We're allowed to invite 100 people. You could be next. So get on the line. The telephone number to dial is 1-888-978-1041. You're listening to The Monster of the Morning.
You can listen to The Monsters in the Morning on iHeartRadio. And now you can watch them every day on the new iHeart Monsters YouTube channel by going to monsters.fm. And listen every weekday morning on Real Radio 104.1.
From the Real Radio. Real Radio 104.1.
All rise. All rise. All rise.
Triple R in the house now.
All rise. All rise.
The Triple R segment of 7 is brought to you by MyHomeBuildersNetwork.com. That's MyHomeBuildersNetwork.com. Mike the home builder is a fourth generation contractor. If you have anything going on in your house you need repaired, he can help you. Now, if it's roof repairs, well, he can patch the roof or he can get you an entire new roof. He does it all. It's myhomebuildersnetwork.com, myhomebuildersnetwork.com. Known Mike for a long time now. Anytime I have anything with the house that I can't fix, that's who I call. And he can even help you with your insurance claim if you need to. Get rid of that blue tarp on your house. Go to myhomebuildersnetwork.com. It's Mike the Home Builder. He's a great guy. You'll love talking to him. And he's really close attention to detail. It's myhomebuildersnetwork.com. All right, is that? It's almost like putting up the bat light, man. is that line? There we go. Yeah, almost like putting up the bat light. It takes only seconds for us to get back to us, and I sure do appreciate it. On the line with us right now is John Morgan. Hello, John. How you doing, man? Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Hey, John, what's going on?
How are you?
John, I saw the story this morning. I was ready to raise hell. I'm like, oh, we got to raise hell. Someone stole John Morgan's catchphrase.
We need to fight for
We're
John.
We're going to fight for John Morgan.
He needs
it. It's the time we can really get his back. And then I read the article, and you're like, hey, I don't care.
It's like when Shonda Rhimes did her ABC show for the people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, everybody was lighting me up and, what does this mean, and why can you let this happen? I'm like, listen, every time they say the word, people think of me.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, do you have that trademark, John?
I do have it trademarked, and you can enforce it to certain levels, but I've really kind of let it go on outside of the law. Now, there's law firms all over the country that try to use for the people all the time, and we push back hard on that.
Yeah.
But, Al Gore used it back when he ran for president.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, really?
Hey, no, we were asking the question, if it was the Republican Party wanting to use it, would you have had a problem with that?
No.
No.
Really?
See, no. That's a... Yeah.
Man, I would have immediately thought, John, just simply because you've been such a staunch Democrat and supporter of that side of the aisle for so long, that especially with the environment we're in right now, that had the Republican Party tried to use that you would have pushed back pretty hard, just considering how you don't have parallel thought processes.
Well, the law's not on my side, number one, in this particular instance. Now, remember, I do have a trademark, but in the trademark law world, it really goes to the specific businesses. So there's a used car guy somewhere in America that uses for the people.
Oh, yeah?
And there's really nothing I can do about it. It's not me. And so I don't really, when it's in my area of law, and there's people that kind of do takeoffs on it all the time. But for me, when I saw the ABC show, I'm like, this is good.
Right.
You know, every time they say for the people, people write me a lot, write me and go, hey, they stole your slogan. They stole your slogan. They stole your slogan. But remember this. I stole the slogan. I stole the slogan from George Washington, the boys, in the Declaration of Independence.
So, that's so true.
Back in the day, people always asked me, how did I come up with the slogan? And it was like, nobody knew what a URL was. Nobody had a BlackBerry. Nobody knew about the Internet. But I did, and I got down to two slogans that I was possibly going to go with. I wanted it to be a mission statement and a branding statement.
Right.
And so I'm reading the Declaration of Independence, and I hear, for the people. I'm like, damn, that's good.
That guy knew what he was doing.
What was the other?
And he probably won't come after me.
Hey, John, what was the other one? What was the other one?
The other one was...
Please tell me it's I will sue your balls off.
I will sue your ass. Whiplash, cash for whiplash. No, it was justice for all.
Justice for all.
Oh, okay. Cash for whiplash, pretty damn good too.
I like for the people though. That's... Hey, we were talking.
Paul had that one, so I had to give it. Paul
had. Yeah, we were talking about attorneys in town. Of course, everyone tries to advertise or whatever. But the way we remember it now is that you were the first guy to really start advertising the way that you do. But are we incorrect? Was there an attorney in town that was advertising heavily before you started?
There was two people. There was Bill Whitaker at Whitaker and Kepke, and he was great to me. I took his cases. I tried his cases. He referred me a lot of business. And I saw it was working. And then there was another firm called Jacobs and Goodman, who are good friends of mine.
Yeah.
And they just kind of, you know, they both kind of petered out. And, you know, it's a competitive business. I mean, you get no fees come in. You got to win to get your fees. You still have the overhead. You still have the cost of cases. Well, when I tried to back a case, you know, those costs, just the court cost and expert witnesses are $400,000 or $500,000. So when you lose a case, it's like you go out into a really nice neighborhood and blow up a house.
Hey, you know, John, it's interesting because I've known the guys from Jacobs and Goodman for a little bit. They had a spot here on the show for a while, and you're absolutely right. There, you have to be ready to move to that next level, and that next level is like going from middle school into college. I mean, when you have 80, 90 attorneys under your blanket, and you also have to fund all of that, I don't know that people realize the kind of cash we're talking about.
Well, I'm leaving here in a minute. I'm going to California. We just opened up in Los Angeles.
Damn!
So I'm going out there. We spend, you know, advertising on all this. You know, we're at 450 lawyers. We're in 48 cities. We're in, you know, Philly and Boston. But our advertising budget is over $100 million a year. Don't let Linda Bird hear that. I'll be, what?
Oh, yeah. Trust me, she's calling. She'll be beeping in on your phone in 5 minutes.
She's actually
on a hand glider, and she's gliding in here to talk to you.
Right now, she's reacting like one of those twins where their sister got hurt, and she sat straight up in bed.
Now, what is your budget? What is your budget?
Hey, John, so now, have you officially won the war for medical marijuana? Is that officially won now?
I won the war, but, you know, we're still fighting over smoke, which I'll win in the end. But
keep fighting.
Yeah, I've won the war. Listen, not only have I won that war, I'm going to win another war because really what people really want, people are tired of talking about it.
Yeah.
And people like me, I mean, who grew up, I mean, we grew up, you know, in parties with marijuana, in cars with marijuana, in fraternity houses with marijuana. It's not a big deal. It's a big deal to people who are like, you know, 80,
yep,
who had a child who got hooked on heroin and they want to blame it on marijuana.
Right.
Listen, you know, marijuana is like, would you rather have somebody drink, you know, a wine cooler or tequila and wild turkey? That's what marijuana is in the scheme of things.
Yep.
And really, marijuana should be legal. We should, you know, there are so many children, poor people who get arrested, locked up, don't go to the military, don't get to the school they wanted to go to, all because they had a joint in their pocket. We love to lock people up, and it's not really, nobody dies from marijuana. You don't have domestic violence from marijuana. You don't lose job productivity. You know, when you get hammered on vodka the night before, it's hard to get up. When you smoke a joint, you get up because you slept well.
Yeah.
And it is such a no-brainer that it's not only time for medical marijuana, it's time just to legalize it. We're in the 21st century. It's a clean business. It's good for real estate. It's good for taxes. It's better than booze. And so I think now I'm getting a lot of calls from a lot of people who would like to spend the money. Because now it's a big industry.
Oh, yeah.
Now, before it was like, you know, Cheech and John kind of sneaking around, you know. But now it trades publicly in Canada. There's huge companies. I mean, the people with the biggest money are coming, and we'll put a referendum on in 2020, legalize it, be done with it, stop talking about it, and in 10 years we'll be like, really?
That was a problem. Yeah, Angel. Question for John Morgan.
No, the problem is wild turkey.
Yeah.
Mr. Morgan. So we got a lot of people listening, and they've been in the Central Florida area for a while, and they're curious. Whatever happened to Colin and Gilbert? And when's the last time you talked to those guys?
Colin died. You know, we played basketball as kids together. He was a guy. It was interesting. Those guys, Colin died at almost 50 jogging.
Oh, my God.
I mean, this is a guy who got up every day, you know, went to the Y, did the military stuff. He was just a super athlete and died jogging in front of Doc Rivers' house. Doc's wife came out, and he died tragically right in front of his son, Jackson.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
Unbelievable. I was in L.A., or I was in D.C. I wake up and my phone is just lit up with, you know, So he tragically passed away. His brother Jay is one of my best friends. What happened to that deal? They're still around. He's not, but Gilbert is. They're lawyers. He's a lawyer here. But what happened is way back when I wanted to grow, and we were going into Jacksonville and going into Fort Myers and Naples, and they didn't want to grow because, you know, you're taking your money that you could be putting in your pocket,
right,
and then you're pushing it into another market.
Right.
And we had a disagreement over that. So, you know, about 15 years ago or so, I bought them out. And they were pressing me to close Jacksonville and Fort Myers because, look, when you first open up, all you do is bleed money.
Right.
But now those two cities, you know, are gigantic for me.
Hey, John, if they did a movie about you and your fraternity days with Martin E. James, who would play you guys in the movie? I'm trying to imagine that movie, and it would be a damn. I'm sure it'd be a funny one.
Well, probably Danny DeVito would play DJ.
The disrespect.
I think Clooney would probably.
Yeah,
play
that. That's what we were gonna say.
It was Clooney or Pitt. We knew it.
Yeah, yeah, one or the other.
No, I'm from Clooney and I are from Kentucky, and so it'd probably be Clooney for me. It'd be DeVito for Needham, and that's kind of how it was when we were the fraternity. No, he's like 4'11".
Oh my God, man. Here we go again.
How odd is it? Two of the biggest attorneys in town, though, we're fraternity brothers. You know, it's so odd.
But he wore platform shoes.
Oh, John, leave the guy alone, man.
And
you've
he had
won.
Goldfish in the heels.
John, you've
man.
Won.
No.
John, you've won. Leave him alone.
Chill.
All right, listen. Have a good flight to L.A.
Los Angeles.
And thank you for taking time to talk to me. Anytime I reach out, man, you get back to me right away. And I appreciate that, John. It's very nice of you.
I'll be in Newport Beach. With my friend Doug, who owns Weed Maps. So
all right.
Great service. That's a great service. And John, before you go, can we get a strong for the people, just so the Democratic Party knows?
Better than that, if you've been injured in an accident, hurt on the job, or the victim of medical malpractice, call Morgan & Morgan. Fighting for the people.
There you go.
There. The catchphrases are catchphrases.
All right, John. Have a good flight, man. Thanks for calling.
See you guys.
We'll bill you, buddy. Don't worry about it. Linda will bill your ass.
I love that guy, man. He's just awesome.
He's been there for
Linda's
you,
in her performance car trying to catch him before he gets on that plane.
It is funny. I've heard that thing in the hallway when the whole, hey, what's your budget?
Yeah, I
know. All right, listen, I know a lot of people on the line, they want to win those tickets. We had to talk to John Morgan because he called right in. He's a busy man. But so don't go anywhere. Your opportunity to win the Monster Fan Appreciation Show tickets will be coming up next. You're listening to the Monsters in the Morning. Welcome to the Monsters in the Morning on Real Radio 104.1, broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. All right, this is your chance to win that the tickets for two to our fan appreciation show at Universal Studios Orlando. And I'm sure we have other prizes, too. So let's find out what prize we have in the old prize pinata.
The prize pinata is brought to you by Cento Family Moving and Storage. It's a family-owned and operated company offering both residential and commercial moving services for businesses all over the country. Fully trained expert moving crew, adept
in
packing,
what?
Furniture handling, safe driving, and excellent customer service. Go to the website at centomoving.com, C-E-N-T-O-moving.com. You hit the start quote button. Let them know that you heard about it here on Real Radio 104.1 Monsters in the Morning, and there's a discount for you. Let them handle your next move, in particular if you're moving over the summer, because, man, it's hot out there. That's centomoving.com.
Roofers text me this morning, literally, or text us this morning at 6:15, going, guys, I think it's 90 already.
Yeah, man.
I'd like to stay hydrated, my man.
Yeah, that's why I was glad it rained a little bit yesterday. I was glad.
Y'all just missed what happened. I have berries in my Ziploc bag.
He offered me a berry.
I offered Russ a berry.
He threw it at you.
No, he looked at me as if I insulted his mother. He immediately grabbed his fake bag of hydroxycut berries and went, and ate it.
Heaven forbid.
A real berry.
All right, up first, we have, and this is a pretty cool ticket to get, and particularly because it's a sold-out show, a pair of tickets to see these guys.
Oh, yeah. Wow, I thought that show was sold completely out. It is, isn't it?
I think so.
I know a guy.
Man, what a great band.
This is lit, right?
Echo and the Bunnymen.
Oh. Echo and the Bunnymen, okay.
This lineup is one of the bands, the staples of Real Music Weekends. This weekend, this show, it's a pair of tickets to see Echo and the Bunnymen and the Violent Femmes at the House of Blues on Friday, July the 20th. Tickets are on sale right now. Visit realradio.fm. Keyword tickets for more information. I think Echo and the Bunnymen were here earlier this year, and they did a show downtown, and that's the show that was sold out. So they've come back to Central Florida. You can check them out. Echo and the Bunnymen and Violent Femmes, House of Blues, July the 20th.
I don't think you could have made a movie from, like, let's say, 83 until 89 without this band being part of it, or seemingly.
Absolutely. We have a pair of passes to the advanced screening of Mission Impossible.
Ooh.
Fallout. On Monday, July the 23rd, at the Regal Waterford Lakes. The best intentions come out to haunt you. Mission Impossible Fallout finds Ethan Hunt and his IMF team, along with some familiar allies, in a race against time after a mission gone wrong.
I'm calling it right now.
It looks good.
One of the biggest movies of the summer. I think people are going to attach on, other than your comic book ones, like, you know, this is going to be
bigger. The ones that were actually the bigger movies.
Yeah, you're right. The billion-dollar ones. I just think it's going to be a big hit. I think people are going to love it, and from what I've read,
I think it's a little bit of genius, and I don't know if it was accident or there was an actual thought process to use that footage. The fact that they're using the footage of the stunt that he got hurt on.
It endears it.
Yeah, you're like, damn. All right, Tom, well, that broke your foot, your rib, and your neck. I'll go check out your movie.
Yeah, but you ain't Jackie Chan. You know what I love about Tom Cruise? He's fun to watch on screen.
He is.
And almost any project he takes, whether it be super dramatic or fun or action, the guy is fun to watch act.
American Made, I just saw it, and I thought it was awesome.
It is good.
That's a good movie.
You know, it's a good flick. It seems like it should have been bigger, and it felt like a Scorsese film.
You know what I think killed that movie? That story's been told a bunch.
Yeah.
Cocaine,
yeah.
Cowboys.
We're way too familiar with all that.
I just think that story's been told. The whole idea of the cocaine smuggling business has already been told 100 times, you know?
We have a 4-pack of tickets to the Kennedy Space Center. Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex is the only destination in the universe where you can touch a moon rock, stand nose-to-nose with the real space shuttle Atlantis, meet a NASA astronaut, and glimpse the future of space exploration. Explore more at kennedyspacecenter.com. We also have a pair of tickets to join the Monsters for Fan Appreciation Day at Universal Orlando on Saturday, August the 4th.
It's a Saturday morning.
Yeah.
We'll be live on Real Radio playing music, which is going to be fun. We'll be in front of the, when you get there, we'll be right in front of the radio station that we always broadcast from. And we're going to take a big photo with everyone. We'll give you your $25 gift certificate. Go ride the rides. Go have a good time. Then we're all going to meet back up at the Monster Cafe for lunch.
Yeah.
And then go ride some more rides. And I'm probably going to end up at that Irish bar. So you guys can come with me if you want to.
The prize includes two-day park-to-park Universal Orlando tickets valid for admission to Universal Studios and Universal Islands of Adventure theme parks, general parking pass, and a $25 Universal gift card. Join the family for a whole new ride at Fast and Furious Supercharged is now open at Universal Orlando Resort. Another way to win Fan Appreciation Day tickets is to check monsters.fm for the at 9 a.m. for the weekly, what's that, 9 to 5, 5 at 9?
Yeah, at 9. I'm heading to Universal this afternoon. Everybody sees me, holler at me, say what's up. I'll be out there with my daughter enjoying Universal.
It's the Daily 5 at 9. And those are the prizes in today's Prize Pinata.
Thanks, Angel. 407-916-1041. Tyler from Weeki Wachee. You're on Real Radio 104.1. How you doing, buddy?
Not bad. Yourself, guys?
I am wonderful.
Awesome.
You got an opportunity to win these tickets. Good luck to you. If you don't get it right, you've got a chance also, because one of the monsters can help you and win it for you if you don't get it. So here you go. According to a study out of Johns Hopkins Medicine in Baltimore, eating too much of this can cause mania. Now, mania is heightened mood, energy, and arousal. So if you eat too much of this, it can cause mania. What do you think it is?
That's what happens to you.
Chocolate?
Chocolate is incorrect. Who do you want to help? You've got Dirty Jim, Angel, or Carlos?
Let's go with Carlos.
According to a study out of Johns Hopkins Medicine in Baltimore, eating too much of this can cause mania. And their definition of mania is heightened mood, energy and arousal.
Eating too much of this can cause mania.
Mm-hmm.
What's this gentleman's name?
This is Tyler calling from Weeki Wachee.
What are you laughing at, Jimmy? Jesus, I'm just...
I love watching the process of you do your
like,
thing.
What it's am like I the doing?
Game, it's like the game Mousetrap. It really is. Because at some point, the cage is going to come down on him, and he's just going
to
spew.
You know what that first statement's like? It's like test questions to set the regulator on a lie detector test. You ever notice that? What's your name? In other words, we're going to find out what positives are.
You're setting the baseline.
I'm asking the wonderful gentleman who listens to our show, who's a huge supporter.
Ask your
How
question.
Long have you been listening, sir?
Probably about 5 years.
Wow, that's good. It's a good run.
Since I moved to Florida.
That's a good run, he says.
We appreciate it.
Tell more people.
Wait, is this Tyler? Did you come out to a car show with me once?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, what's going on, man?
Look at that. Oh, great guy,
you
Tyler.
Guys wanna put, let me, let's put you on hold and let you get an angel catch up.
Yeah, it's very sweet.
While we do the show.
So Russ only selects things that are sometimes connected to somebody on the show that they eat a lot of, right?
Okay, hold on. This is really cute. As to Russ not to be engaged with you.
I'm not letting you do it to me.
He's grabbed his phone.
I'm not letting you.
He's totally tried.
Answer the question.
He's totally tried.
I love it. Fight him, Russ. Don't take it.
But for real. This guy's listened for 5 years straight.
I like this guy. I'd love to see him win.
You're not even paying attention to him.
You got to try to get it.
I tried 125 times to get on this morning.
See?
I appreciate that, sir. That's very cool.
That's a lot of time.
Are you going to guess?
Ice cold water in those veins. Look at him. Ice water in those veins. Put up the good fight, Russ.
I'm going to be dead honest. I forgot the question.
What was the question again?
How about whole grains?
The question is this. It says John Hopkins Medicine did a study, and they said eating too much of this can cause mania. Mania is heightened mood, energy, and arousal. What do you think it is?
Is it?
Whole grains?
Oh, you think that wouldn't be funny? That wouldn't be swervy? It would have to be something that we all eat. How about something like, you know, boner pills too easy. Russ would know that connects to him. He doesn't need them, though, from what I hear.
I don't.
Was that a lob at a compliment?
I don't.
Was that a lob at a compliment?
You think it's chocolate, Tyler?
5 minutes.
Try whole grains.
All right, let's do whole grains.
Whole grains is incorrect. I'm so sorry. That is not the answer. 407-916-1041. Justin, you're on Real Radio 104.1.
Hey, good morning, Monsters.
Hey,
hey, buddy. According to John Hopkins Medicine, what food is it? If you eat too much of it, it'll cause mania.
What about meats?
You have to be more specific.
Uh-oh.
Who do you want to help you? You've got Dirty Jim and you've got Angel.
Hot dogs, beef jerky, I don't know.
Did you say hot dogs and beef jerky?
Yes, sir.
You are correct, sir. That is the answer. There you go. We put you on hold. You're a winner.
Is it just processed meat?
It's processed meat. Uh-oh. Yeah. We put you on hold. You're a winner. Now, which prize are you going to take, sir?
The Universal.
You got it, buddy. You'll be partying with us on August the 4th, Saturday at Universal Studios. So we put you on hold. Yeah, they said bacon, hot dogs, cured meat.
Yeah.
If you eat a lot of it, it will cause heightened mood, energy, and arousal.
This makes sense.
Does it really? Why does it make sense?
I don't know. Did you see how it reacted when those hot dogs got here yesterday?
Yeah.
Seriously, did you see how fast that food was consumed yesterday?
Yeah. They said the researchers studied 1,100 cases of people who they said they had mania after eating cured meat, lots of bacon, or lots of hot dogs, or what other cured meats are there? Beef jerky?
Well, like sausages and stuff are cured. Jerky's cured. Stuff like that.
I wonder why that would cause arousal. So, I mean, arousal is when there's a better blood flow, right? So
it doesn't instantly mean that you're eating hot dogs and getting boners.
That's what I'm thinking.
Is that your new shop, Hot Dogs and Boners?
Russ is going to battle Joey Chestnut next year.
Hot Dogs and Boners.
No, here's the thing. You didn't see that with the actual physical movement. He did that. He did a hot dog.
Hot dog for a hot dog. Awesome.
I wonder if it has to do, because I believe that processed meats have a lot of triglycerides.
Okay.
And that's the thing that they try to steer you away from, because that's very bad for you, I believe. That's one of those heart problems, you know, and just a good health problem. So maybe it has something to do with that. It
says here that if you have depression or you're bipolar or schizophrenia, that really it will kick in. It's more likely to happen with people who are bipolar disorder, and schizophrenia. They will really catch a case of the mania if they eat a lot of bacon and hot dogs.
Pregnant women are not supposed to eat cured meat, from what I believe, in cold cuts.
I don't think so, yeah.
Yeah,
I never heard that.
Yeah, they're not supposed to.
The other day I was at Circle K and I got a bipolar pop.
Yeah?
Got sad and very happy.
Well, that's okay. So I know we had a winner yesterday on the Daily Five. So those were two tickets that went out for the Monster Fan Appreciation Show. So we just had one today. Did we have one yesterday too?
Yeah, the guy that won yesterday the Triple R took the tickets.
I think honestly, until we give these things away, you're probably gonna have to wind up doing two trivia questions a day, because I mean, other than that, nobody else is gonna take anything else. I mean, you know, that day at Universal is gonna be pretty cool. So maybe we just do a couple of them and just understand that it's always going to be Universal tickets, because we're never going to give any of that other stuff away.
We got some other cool prizes, too.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Okay, maybe we can do that. Maybe at 8 o'clock, when we do open phones at 8, you know, whoever has the best question, we'll give them a prize.
Yeah, sure.
Like that. Yeah, we'll do that.
Oh, you're really not trying to give these prizes away, then.
What do you mean?
Ain't nobody going
to. You're saying you're going to give it away to the best question at 8 a.m.?
Well, whatever. I mean, just throw up.
These guys, our guys, they don't ask good questions. Come on.
The rest are all high. You know that.
This is a challenge. I'm throwing it down.
That's
best question at 8 a.m.
All right, there you go. All right, when we come back, Dirty Jim's going to tell you where you're at. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning. Hey, you're listening to the Monster of the Morning on Rural Radio 104.1, broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. Remember, 9 o'clock, you can go to monsters.fm and possibly see your name up there for the Daily Five. If your name is on the Daily Five, then you can win those tickets for two to the Monster Fan Appreciation Show. If you're not signed up, you need to subscribe to the Real Radio newsletter, and that way you could be, you know, possibly win those tickets. So just do it. Go to monsters.fm or realradio.fm/Daily Five to do it. What's up? I'm Russ Rollins, along with Angel and Carlos, and now Dirty Jim's going to tell you where you're at.
Where you at? Brought to you by Klausman Law, Klausman Law.com. Offices right here in Winter Park. Glenn will take great care of you, and more importantly, he will answer his phone. If you have an issue, car crash, call Klausman. Glenn will take care of you. Again, that's Klausman Law, Klausman Law.com. Offices, Winter Park. Where you at? St. Petersburg, Florida. Everybody knows where
that
is, right?
We all know where St. Pete is.
All right,
you're going there this weekend, right?
Yeah, I am. So we have the Visit St. Pete thing going on, where we want you guys to go over there and do staycations on that side of the state. It's beautiful over there. We're going to go over there and kind of celebrate the food and drink scene in St. Pete this weekend. So we'll be sharing that on Twitter, Facebook, and on Instagram as well. St. Pete is a city in Pinellas County. Population of?
Wow. Man. There's a lot of people.
This is actually a little misleading, but go ahead. Take a shot.
God, 1.2 million.
Oh, Jesus, come on. Can't be that much. 200,000.
Wow.
150,000.
Yeah, Carlos is close. 257,000 people. But you got to remember, it's weird. St. Pete, Clearwater, Tampa, all considered like that triangle.
That's what I was thinking.
And that's what happens a lot of times. St. Pete's the second largest city in the Tampa Bay area, after Tampa, of course. And together with Clearwater, they comprise that St. Pete, Clearwater metropolitan area. So that's why you get weird.
It's not all concluded.
No. And you can see one from the other, but they don't consider them the same population. Co-founded by John C. Williams, formerly of Detroit, who purchased the land in 1875, and by a guy named Peter Demons, who was instrumental in bringing the terminus of the Orange Belt Railway there. Now, the first major newspaper to debut there was the St. Petersburg Times, which I believe still is around, established in 1889. Mm. It was incorporated as a town in 1892, and it only had 300 people. And the local legend says that between John Williams and Peter Demons, they figured out a way to name the city Rust. These two guys were like, we're going to name the city something. We're going to do this to decide who gets to do it. What do you think they did? It's weird considering how big of a deal St. Pete is.
From where they're from, like, because I know there's a St. Petersburg.
Russia,
yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. They flipped a coin.
Yeah,
they stood face to face and they flipped a coin. The winner gets to name the city, and he named it after his hometown of St. Petersburg, Russia.
That's
and of course,
what I was thinking, yeah.
And the funny thing is, John Williams still has his fingerprint, because there's a very historic hotel there called the Detroit Hotel. And of course, he's from Michigan, and they named it the Detroit Hotel, which actually still stands to this day, but it's condos now. It was built in 1921. It's now called Hotel Indigo, I believe. Philadelphia publisher F.A. Davis turned on St. Pete to its first electrical service in 1897. The first trolley started running in 1904, and the first major industry there was his wholesale at the end of the pier, which extended out to the shipping channel. And of course, this Hobbs Fish Company turned into a lot, 1,000 pounds of fish a day, and it was a big deal back then. St. Pete incorporated, like I said, as a city in the early 1900s. And then the population went crazy, Russ, from 1906 to 1908 and up to 1910. It went from 300 people to like 4,100 people.
Well, why did it?
The word got out. It's beautiful. There's a lot of beautiful water here. The train got down there.
Okay, usually the train gets there.
Yeah, the train was one of the big deals. In 1914, Tampa Bay area is one of the first Floridian cities that fell in love with baseball. And actually, the former mayor of St. Pete, Al Lang, talked to the St. Louis Browns manager, and he said, hey, look, you should bring him down here. Sure enough, that's where it started. 1914, they moved the St. Louis Browns down there for spring training, and that's where their love of baseball started. We'll revisit that in a minute. The first library opened there in 1915, and check this out, still stands to this day. You can still go into the library. It's over 100 years old. It's called the Mirror Lake Library. Mm. And one thing you will never guess that happened first in St. Pete, Clearwater, in 1914, it's being touted as the very first time a commercial this happened.
A cruise ship?
Nope. Close.
Commercial. What year?
1914.
Commercial casino?
No.
The first commercial airline.
Oh, duh.
Really? It's called the St. Pete Tampa Airboat Line, run by a guy named Tony Janus, who is a flying.
Janus Landing.
Yeah. And he was presented annually. And by the way, in the airline business, there's a Janus Award. It was such a big deal. And in 1984, a full flying replica of his flying boat was constructed, and it's at the Florida Aviation Historical Society, and it's up there right now. 1920, St. Pete was big due to its growth by tourists. They came from everywhere, us automobile, yacht, railroad, and they came down there to, of course, enjoy the great time. They opened a bridge called the Gandy Bridge in 1924, helping St. Pete decrease the tourist numbers and grow into the largest city in Pinellas County. And I believe it's the largest city not to be the city seat or the county seat. And I believe that may be in America, believe it or not. So tourists declined by the 20s because the Depression hit. And by the 40s, a large population started there because of after World War II. People started kind of settling there. Because believe it or not, back then it was still pretty cheap to live. And even considering now, they considered a relatively inexpensive place to live considering what you get around it. It was a training area for the U.S. Coast Guard for quite a while. And they selected the War Department there as their technical service training center, both stations occupying the city, with more than 100,000 troops.
Damn.
And in 1954, they opened the Sunshine Skyway Bridge. Are you guys familiar with the Skyway Bridge?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's beautiful.
I love it.
It is. Let me swap my page here. I believe it is the highest steel or the highest span bridge or longest span bridge in America. Also, it was so famous for suicides, they actually had to create a thing down there to keep people from jumping off of it.
Yeah, when I used to go boating down there, I'd always go under it.
St. Pete received its first stadium called the Bayfront Center, which hosted the first professional hockey league of Tampa, the new Municipal Marina there, the Museum of Fine Arts, also built in downtown St. Pete, which has the world's largest reclaimed water system. Did you guys know that?
I did, actually.
Over 37 million gallons of water per day to provide for customers. That's the largest one in the nation, by the way.
I'm into reclaimed water trivia.
That's good. Ryan Holmes does it. Hammer and Lamb. Check it out. We need the Major League Baseball park started in 83. They're like, we're pitching it. We want it. Stadium opened in 1990 as the Florida Suncoast Dome and then later changed to the Thunderdome in 1993. I don't remember that.
I do remember that. Yeah, I remember going to the Thunderdome to see wrestling.
And they pitched and pitched and pitched to Major League Baseball. And then finally in 1996, of course, they named it Tropicana Field. And they gave them a franchise called the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, which of course changed to the Tampa Bay Rays. And they played their first game March 31st, 1998, giving the area their first Major League Baseball team. Do you know what started there? One of the biggest information centers in the U.S. right now started there. Good or bad, it is.
Yeah. Not TMZ, but the other one.
Wikimedia. Wikipedia was started in St. Pete.
Yeah.
Wikipedia was started
in St. Pete.
Jimmy Wales in 2003 started Wikimedia Foundation, originally located in downtown St. Pete. The foundation adopted its articles of incorporation in 2005, and on September 25th in 2007, it announced its move to San Francisco.
Mm.
St. Pete has the third largest dedicated public waterfront system in all of North America, with a waterfront park system that stretches 7 miles, guys. Think about that. 7 miles, nothing but waterfront parks where you can use year-round.
Yeah.
They also have one of the largest destinations for kiteboarding. Did you know that?
Kiteboarding, no.
Fort DeSoto Park,
I did.
Paso Grille, and 10 Cent Beaches in that area, I guess.
Angel's a big kiteboarder.
Are the biggest kiteboarding areas in the nation, one of them. St. Pete also has shuffleboard. You ready for this?
All right.
It started in 1924 there, and right now has a 110-court complex that is considered the world's largest shuffleboard club. And it started in 1950s, and they still have members to this day. The Skyway Bridge is 4.1 miles long, 19 stories high. It's the Western Hemisphere's longest suspension bridge, and the Travel Channel ranked it as number 3 of one of the 10 best bridges in the world.
I'll be damned.
Apparently, everybody loves dogs in the burg because Bella Dog Magazine named it the third most popular dog-friendly city in America. And last but not least, for almost 4 years, the city tried to capture the mystery monkey of Tampa Bay. Do you remember that a couple years back?
The mystery monkey.
In 2012, Rusty, remember the big story that was going there? They used to take pictures of them.
Yeah.
It was a feral rhesus macaque monkey, became famous for its ability to evade capture.
Yeah.
But finally they caught it October 24th in 2012. And how they do it?
In a bear trap.
Russ with a banana and a tranquilizer dart. And that is where he at. Thanks, St. Pete, and thank you, Klausman Law, KLAUSMANLaw.com. Offices, Winter Park. Before you guys start texting me, there's so much on St. Pete, I could literally do 2.5 hours on
they're
it.
They're mad you didn't mention Salvador Dali Museum.
Yeah, and we're going there this weekend. Of course, there's 100,000 things.
Have you seen it yet?
I've not been there.
It is really cool. I will tell you, I went there, and the colors and everything are more brilliant in person. You know, you've seen his stuff, you know, I'm sure,
right,
in school or whatever. But when you go and see it and see how big he painted everything, you know, a lot of times artists paint stuff and it's kind of smaller than what you would imagine when you see it in a book. But when you go and see what he did, it was huge.
Yeah,
it's really a cool museum.
The scope is much bigger. It's almost like the Mona Lisa, because you think the Mona Lisa, you see so many pictures of it, it's giant, but really it's a tiny painting.
It's very small. Yeah. With him, it's the other way around. Yes, Angel.
You know, with different cities in the state of Florida, people get weird when you don't say their name right. I'm talking specifically about Cocoa and Cocoa Beach.
Yeah.
Right.
Are we aware, or do we know when, like, it's St. Pete, Tampa, Clearwater.
Yeah.
Do people have that same kind of weird thing over there?
Did you say Clearwater, St. Pete, Tampa?
Yeah, it's like, no, I'm from St. Pete.
Well, Tampa is definitely different than St. Pete, Clearwater, which are both coastal cities, I believe. Tampa's kind of more inland than that. They do have the bay there, of course, but it's not right on the Gulf, I don't believe. I mean, if you look at the way the city is set up.
You know, but
Clearwater, St. Peter, they're pretty.
What I'm saying is, like, if I'm casually saying, I'm going to Tampa, St. Pete, or I'm going, but the people are like, no, you're actually in Tampa? Do they?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they do or not, but I will tell you, the St. Pete, Clearwater areas are markedly different than what you see in Tampa. No question. Been to Tampa quite a bit, only been to St. Pete, Clearwater a couple times. It's like driving over a bridge into another world.
Yeah, I understand
but
that.
Do they get mad about it?
Yeah, because, like, if you say, hey, I'm going to Cocoa to go to the beach, you're going to be like, no, you're either going to Cocoa Beach or you're going to Cocoa.
Yeah, I think Tampa's so far. I think Tampa's inland enough where people would never. I don't think people would make that mistake.
All right.
But I could be wrong.
Now, where are you staying when you go there this weekend?
I think we're staying in a Hilton over there. There's part of a. It's part of a. A series of resorts they run over there that help, you know, with the whole program of getting people. And you know what? St. Augustine does this. Fort Myers, Captiva does this often. You know,
yeah.
Jacksonville even does it with Ponte Vedra up there to get you to come and visit and try other parts of the state. What I found, Russ, is over there that I had no idea there was such a massive food and drink scene with great breweries and unbelievable food. And that's what we're going to explore over there this weekend with Visit St. Pete Clearwater. By the way, if you see that hashtag, just click on that on social and you'll see a lot of people's experiences in our business over there and see some cool stuff
that
you want to be a part of.
All right, very cool. Hey, we'll take your phone calls when we come back. We'll open the phones at 8. The telephone number to dial is 1-888-978-1041, or locally it's 407-916-1041. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning.
This season, you can hear Orlando City Soccer play on Real Radio 104.1 and FM 96.9 The Game. Go to realradio.fm/soccer for the broadcast schedule and latest soccer news.
From the
Radio.
All right, we were talking about the whether or not you liked people like hearing, you know, Tampa. If you're going to Tampa, do they ever get that mixed up with St. Pete or Clearwater or whatever? We had a lot of texts during the break, and they were saying if you say St. Pete or St. Pete Beach, that's a big difference because St. Pete isn't St. Pete Beach.
Gotcha.
So that's kind of like Cocoa Beach. That's the only thing most people say when you say you're going to Tampa. They never mistake the two of Clearwater or St. Pete with Tampa.
So gotcha. They don't get mad about it.
Yeah, they don't really have a thing about it.
Not the way, because the people at...
if you say Cocoa, I'm going to the beach in Cocoa, people in Cocoa Beach will tell you, hey, dude,
oh my God,
we're not Cocoa.
They lose their minds, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, 407-916-1041 or toll free. It's 1-888-978-1041. Figure it, open the phones up at 8 o'clock. You got something going on. Here's the thing. If you got, let's see, you want to correct us about something, you want to ask us about something, if you want to inform us about something, this is a great time to do it. So let's see what we got here. Let's go with line one. Chris, you're on Real Radio 104.1. How you doing, Chris?
Yo, Monsters.
Hey, man, what's up?
Hey, I got a question for you, Russ.
Yeah, man.
At the end of every show, mm-hmm. I've listened to for at least 15 years, as long as I can remember, at the end of every show, you do some at the end. What the hell does that mean?
That's a good question. This is something that a long, long time ago, Bo and I used to say this in high school. We'd say swirls. And it's the way we'd say goodbye to each other. And we thought it would catch on. Like, so when we started doing the show back in 90, whatever it was, 3, 4, whatever it was, we thought we'd just end every show with saying swirls. No one ever knows what we're saying. It's just kind of something that we used to do when we were in school.
Awesome.
That's there it. All right, man. Thank you so much. 407-916-1041. Let's go to... I really thought it would catch on after 26 years. Still has not.
Yeah.
But me and Bo always say it. Whenever, instead of saying goodbye, it's like, sure, see you later. Kevin, you're on Real Radio 104.1. Kevin?
Yo.
Yo. All right. No, Kevin. Let's go to... Hey, you're on Real Radio. Who's this?
It's Buddy.
Hey, buddy, how you doing? Sorry.
Hey, buddy.
Pretty good, Russ. Hey, guys, how's it going? Good morning. Hey, Russ, first, before I ask my question, I saw the pictures of you on the comedy cruise. Man, you are looking good. Work, man.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
Well, now, here's my question. You got some big changes coming up next year with Jimmy getting his own show. Did you start the process of thinking, you have a short or long list of who's going to replace Jimmy on the show?
You know, it's not something that I really have.
It's between Eddie Murphy and Martin Lawrence.
So we haven't decided yet, though.
I haven't really decided. We have people that are coming in, they come in all the time. It's funny.
Not the specific.
I got married quicker than I decided who I would want to come in all the time. You know what I'm saying? It's like
I hear you.
Yeah.
Well, so, the person coming in. Well, yeah.
But, I mean, yeah. I mean, we've had some people coming in and kind of talking to them and no real decision yet. No.
Cool. Excellent. Thanks for the answer.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. 407-916-1041 or toll free. It's 1-888-978-1041. We've got a lot of people that we love. You know, we love Miguel Colon. We love Ryan Holmes. I love Vince. Vince Taylor coming in. We got a bunch of people that come in all the time. But right now, just really, I don't know. It doesn't. It seemed like it's
a rush in or anything. I mean,
yeah. Like I say, I got married quicker than
exactly.
Right.
Whoever I pick, I got to spend a lot of time with. You know, yeah.
Staring at you.
It's a little more.
It's interesting. I wonder, will the person that winds up coming in on the show more than anybody will they sit in this room? Because I don't believe anybody that comes in now sits in here, right?
No, it
wouldn't
happen
in the studio.
Way.
Yeah, I don't think
it disconnects in the sense. It's always been the way it's been with because that's just the way it's been. But if you notice, in a lot of producers, a lot of studios, everybody's in the same room.
Yeah, even the big sports ones that I listen to and watch, all the guys, for the most part, the people who, like, the people who do the show,
right, the one
and two, are in the same room, and then everybody else is, like, in the producer's position or whatever.
But if you think about it, though, Jimmy, that was by design at first, right? Because if you were in a different room than me and Bo, then you could be kind of crappy to us, and we could be crappy to you, and it was simpler.
It's like a weird thing this sheet of glass has done for our career. It really is, because even when I had to pop in the other day because my board was down, you guys immediately, like, wow, how weird is this?
Yeah,
I'm in the room. It's like a different feel altogether, you know?
Yeah, because we just, kind of grew up doing it that way.
Yeah, that's exactly. I don't know any other way of doing it. Even from the beginning of the show, I've never been in the room. I've never sat in there. Even for every, we've been in four different studios,
uh-huh.
And I've never sat in the room with Russ while doing the show.
No, and the very
first studio, the studio when we were over there when we first did this, and when they built this studio. So it's actually just three.
And the only reason it's awkward is just because we are not used to it. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's easier to be a little confrontational if we're in separate rooms.
100%. Yeah.
You know?
And it used to be the way things were, like the news person would be in that room. It was just like the way talk studios were designed.
That's exactly what this is supposed to be. Yeah. I mean, this is the news studio, so that the news person could slide in, the host could go, okay, let's catch up on the news. The news person could have loaded up all the information,
right,
do their segment, and then move on and do the other thing. It's kind of like what Deb does over there, really.
Now, are you going to have, when you do your show, are you going to have someone in that booth?
As of right now, we do not. I mean, originally, we were going to put Ross in this booth, but Ross loves screening phone calls. And to be honest with you, he's good at it. And, you know, as you know, he's on the show and talks as much as anybody, I guess. But for he's found a little crease. But, you know, I think he wants to be around Jack. He likes that interaction. I think Ross's biggest nightmare would be alone in a room. My wife actually sits here and does all our social media. So when, you know, that's what she uses us for. We get all set up and then she does all the stuff while we're doing the program here. It'll probably continue that way.
But you don't turn the mic, doesn't come on though.
Oh, no, yeah. never. I don't want her talking.
Hey, Alan, you're on Real Radio 104.1. How you doing, Alan?
Funnier than me.
I'm great. I have a question. I'm wondering why Jimmy went off on Angel just for saying hi to somebody. We have to sit through Jimmy's long, crazy ass all over the place, here, there, everywhere, stuff all the time. Angel says hi, and Jimmy goes off.
Where did you say hi?
What are you talking about?
I missed that. When did you go off on Angel?
I do not remember that.
Angel?
Alan, I'm a little fuzzy on recollecting this story as well.
It could be a flashback to the 60s. Then never mind.
Back to you, dude. Back to you. I agree with everything else you said. I agree. I don't want to sit through my rants either.
That sounded like some Ocala shrooms right there.
No, that's that St. Cloud Loud. What's up, Alan?
That's that mud pie surprise is what that is.
Hey, Lisa, you're on Real Radio 104.1. How you doing, Lisa?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good.
Hey.
So my question is, well, actually, I was just wondering if y'all could wish me a happy birthday. Today is my 50th birthday.
Hey,
happy birthday. Where are you from?
Happy birthday, Lisa.
Well, originally I'm from Pennsylvania, but I've been here in Florida in Castleberry for the last 9 years.
Oh, representing the Seabury. Oh,
good. Well, what are you doing for your birthday? Anything special?
You can raise some hell?
I've already raised all the hell I can. I think I'm worn out now.
Stop into Holly and Dolly's and crank some back.
Hey, just let me just say something. Choose another phrase other than worn out.
Yeah.
As a woman, it comes off poorly.
Yeah, don't say you're worn out. Yeah, you're just you're slowing down a little bit.
Yeah.
Slowing down a lot.
A lot. Yeah, you have no. It's your 50th. A lot of people for their 50th have a real special thing planned.
Oh, yeah, they blow it out. Yeah,
a lot of people try meth for the first time. Is this something you're interested in?
I need some ideas, but I have a 12-year-old son, so we have to kind of.
Well,
keep
don't
it clean.
Do meth with your 12-year-old
yeah, you
son.
Don't
well,
do
first
that.
Thing you
That'd
do is you get a babysitter. It's your 50th birthday.
Yeah.
Get a babysitter.
Throw him on Fortnite and cheese pizza and get out the door.
What is something.
Exactly what he would love.
Lisa, what's something you've always wanted to do, but you've never really. Been either brave enough to do it.
No, scared.
Or,
you've been scared
little,
to do it.
Yeah, a little nervous to do it. What is something you've always wanted to do, but you've never really done it?
But.
Oh, my gosh. There's.
What are you doing?
Wow, you guys threw me off. There's lots of things I would love to do. I'd love to go to Hawaii. I'd love to go to Vegas.
But those
how
are
about
vacations.
Something more local?
Yeah, something.
Like, what can we do today?
St. Pete Clearwater?
I want to go to Universal with you guys.
Oh, there we
fun.
Go.
That'd be fun.
Now we boiled it down.
Lisa, that would be fun. Hold on, Lisa.
We boiled it down. Now we got to go to Mexico.
Was it even really her birthday?
Yeah. Hold on, Lisa.
Oh, we never know. People lie to us all the time.
I swear it is my 50th birthday today.
What's your schedule like today? Like today, what are you doing?
I just pulled into the parking lot at my job, so I'm working all day.
So can you take the day off?
What time are you getting out of work?
I don't get out of work until 5 o'clock.
Okay, do you like bagels?
I know where
Angel was going, can you turn around?
Could you leave work
and say,
right now?
It's my birthday. I can't work today. Can you do that?
Not really.
What do you do?
No,
it's not your birthday. You're lying to us. You're a liar. You're a liar. You're a liar. You're a liar.
What do you do?
It's
for
not
a
your
living?
Birthday. No. If it's your birthday, you can walk in and show your boss, and you say, "See, it's my birthday. It's my 50th birthday." And Angel just gave me a pair of tickets to Universal Studios to go and walk to the front of the line pass. He gave it to me. I can go to Universal today for free because the Monsters gave it to me.
But you have to come up here and pick those up today.
But you got to use them today.
Absolutely today.
You guys are playing me right
now. No. If you do not go to work today, we will give you universal. Well, somebody will give you university, but you got to tell your boss.
This is true. They gave us tickets, and actually, today's the only day they're good. Angel has a pair. He will give you. It's front of the line pass and parking pass. If you walk in, and
LA.
A matter of fact, stay on the phone. Walk in and tell your boss it's my birthday. I'm going to Universal.
My boss isn't even here, so I can't do that.
Well, then write him a note and just go.
Well, then he can't fire you.
Send him a text message with our picture on it. Say these guys just hooked it up.
What business?
Oh my gosh,
what business are you in?
Me.
What do you do for a living?
I am a customer service representative, so I basically answer the phone and take
people screaming at you all day long. You deserve the day off.
You deserve a break today at Universal.
I need my job, guys. I appreciate it. I just wanted you to wish me happy birthday.
She just got mad. She's like, I wasn't expecting for you to give me this awesome prize.
You guys are so overwhelmed with me on my birthday.
Jeez.
Basically, but I love it. Thank you so much.
All right, Lisa. Yeah.
She's like, get off the phone with us quick.
Have a good day.
Happy birthday, Lisa. Right.
She was just trying to get those tickets through our
because
if it was really her 50th birthday, she could take off.
We sniffed that out.
We're getting brighter.
We are super smart.
Well, the more cynical I get, the more I get like Dirty Jim.
23 years in.
It took me a while to get there, Jimmy, but I'm finally there.
It worked. I mean, you're miserable as hell all the time, but it works.
Joel, you're on Real Radio 104.1.
Hey Joel. Guys, I'm pulling up to my job right now, and I don't really want to go.
Is it going to be this all day, Russ?
Is this
the new segment?
Why
did you call, sir?
No. I'm just calling in. I just wanted to thank Carlos for being such a positive light and for just spreading so much positivity every day, you know, with all the haters and just with all the negativity. You know, it's really good to have someone like him. And just wanted to thank him and thank everybody like him that just wants to spread positivity and be a helpful and be a light.
I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, Joel.
I appreciate that, man. I really do appreciate that. The Victory Cruise was really interesting because we don't get to meet hundreds of our listeners at one time, and a lot of people connecting with To the Top, and you know what? That's what I try and bring, some positivity. There's a bunch of craziness in the world, and I'm working on myself, and we're all working on ourselves.
Ain't nobody perfect,
and I really appreciate that message. Every single message that I get about To the Top, and it really means a lot. So appreciate that, bro.
Thank you, Joel. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, Joel.
Matter of fact, on that same note, I asked you about it this morning. You talk about like a To the Top moment. Jim Kelly last night on the ESPY Awards. Maybe we can play that when we come back.
I saw it trending, but I didn't know what it was.
It's a pretty cool little speech, man.
That's why I heard that
actually,
as well.
Actually, as far as ESPYs go, this one is probably one of the most moving ever. Because
genuine?
Because you had, you had the 141 women up on stage that went through the Michigan.
The victims, yeah.
Yeah,
victims, right?
Yeah, you had them on stage. You also had Jim Kelly's,
which was great.
Yeah, his speech on stage. You had them give an award to the three coaches from Parkland that gave up their lives to protect their students. And then Danica is the only controversy was Danica.
Why? She did great.
And there's that. So there's one sports media outlet who's saying that she fell flat, that her jokes were flat, Sports Illustrated. And then there's other media outlets, ESPN, who obviously are saying that she did great. But Twitter, in and of itself, the response has been that she did good.
Oh, okay. That's what I had people texting me going, hey, your girl Danica's doing great. And then I woke up this morning and I watched NBC early, and they said that she did an incredible job.
I'm curious this because they did a screenshot, or they did a crowd shot, and I'm curious.
I'm watching, baby.
I thought you said crotch shot too.
Crowd. I was like, hello, YouTube.
It's crowd. I'm not gonna watch.
Yeah. And Jon Stewart was there, and I'm curious if it was Jon Stewart that wrote the jokes for her.
Oh, I see.
Because
He's gonna take time to write for the ESPYs?
He's not doing anything.
Yeah, yes,
he's on tour with Chappelle.
We'll take some more phone calls when we come back, and also we'll find that Jim Kelly a little bit.
We got a little bit later.
All right, you're listening to the Monster of the Morning. Carlos, I'm going to do what we said. I'm inviting James John. James John, Monster Comic of the Year, how you doing, buddy?
explain it all, man. How about you?
I am wonderful. Welcome back to the Monster of the Morning, Real Radio 104.1. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. And we would like to cordially invite you to something that we kind of said we'd pay to see this.
Okay.
And that's this. It's the Monster Back to School Skate Party. And we would love to see James John on some skates. James, can you skate?
For like all of 2.3 seconds.
Don't feel bad. I can't skate
either.
Oh,
my God.
But it's the Monster Back to School Skate Party with Carlos B.
Yeah, it's me, Carlos B.
It's going to be on August the 10th, and this is one of the very few things that we're doing that is family, you know, family friendly.
Yeah, oh yeah,
you know, like kids and you know, yeah. family, you know. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Everyone is invited, and what we ask you to do is to bring supplies to donate to A Gift for Teaching.
Yes,
it's going to be at Astro Skate on Goldenrod on August the 10th. It's a Friday night. We want everyone represent your school, whether it's your high school or your whatever
college,
your team, whatever
your kids
team,
elementary school. Don't matter.
Yeah, what would you be wearing, James John, if you're going
to
represent
what
your school?
Be wearing?
What would you wear?
Well, I'm going to wear something for my son. I'm going to be wearing gator colors.
Yeah, man. You'd be a gator.
I'm going to be gator.
And you just got back from Gainesville, right?
Literally yesterday, we just got back. We were on a 3-day trip. Took my son to his college orientation.
Yeah.
And that was a trip. All they showed us from on campus was everywhere to eat.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah. Your son can eat here. Yeah, he can eat here. He can eat here.
When my son did this UCF tour, the very first thing is like, hey, we're getting in Chipotle. No science, no nothing, no arts. I walked just straight to the quad there and said, hey, by the way, getting in Chipotle. Still building it. Hey, guys, knock on the window. When you done?
What was
2 months? All right, 2 months.
The most impressive place to eat for him was what?
Impressive? I think... Well, here's what they do. They're very slick. Here's what they do.
Yeah.
When you go to these things, they let the parents go eat at the normal place, like the place where they cook hot food every day. So on those days, they know the parents are coming. They cook really extravagant, good food, like steak, salmon. And then the kids are like, we don't have this.
what the hell is going on?
So we had steak and stuff, so he thought that was really good. But I know my son. He's going to be eating burgers, chicken tenders.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah,
he's going to get a degree and diabetes.
Were you impressed by the tour?
I was impressed by the scope of that school. I did not realize how big that campus UF really is.
It's the city of Gainesville. That's all.
That's exactly
it's
what it is.
It's the city of Gainesville. It kind of goes throughout the city. It's kind of weird, you know?
Yeah. It does. Everything is just around that. But the funny part for me, Russ, was the preview team.
Yeah.
That is 50... 18-year-old Carlos Navarro.
Oh, God.
Imagine that. Yeah.
What's a preview team? What's that?
They're the ones that take you on the escorts, right?
Yes.
Yeah, through the campus.
Absolutely. And they are
they're very motivated.
Motivated is not the word. They're like on Red Bull and cocaine.
Oh, yeah.
They're
happy. At UNF, they literally make you sing the Osprey song. We swoop like an Osprey.
Wow.
And if you don't do it, they're like, we ain't going nowhere.
That's
until
right.
you swoop.
That's right, bro.
You, big man, swoop or we're staying right here.
They're highly motivated, funny people, though.
Nice.
I thought of you. Like, they're to the top, over the top.
Hey,
like,
personality on full tilt.
Oh, my God. They're on one.
They're the ones who are selling you the school.
They are. They definitely are selling you the school. At a discounted price.
Yeah. Do they get a cut? I mean, not a cut, but how does that work?
Do they get a cut?
I mean, I'm wondering. It's just their job.
They have to go through like a rigorous like training program, and you have to try out. Like they say, hundreds of kids want to be this.
Oh, wow.
You audition. Yeah,
that's
like
cool.
Being a Disney cast member.
Oh yeah.
Only different.
Hey, we saw you on Saturday night at the Monster Real Last Cruise, which was the first time we've done something with you guys, and it was a lot of fun.
It was so much fun.
And did you have a good time?
Oh my God, I did. Now I will tell you, I was gambling and winning.
Gambling and won. Yeah.
I won $47. Not bragging.
Yeah.
It only took $100 to do it.
Okay. All right. All right.
Nice.
What was your game? What would you play?
I was simple. I just played poker.
Poker.
Like video poker is all I played.
Video poker. Okay.
I didn't have the stones for any real table game, because first off, I don't know how to play any of them except blackjack, and I saw people there who are truly serious about gambling.
That boat is for people who are not playing around.
No, they're not.
And they're like, look, man, we're here to gamble.
Yeah.
This Monsters thing is real cute.
It's nice.
Look at y'all with your photos and stuff, but I'm here to play roulette for 5 hours straight.
And you're not joking.
Yeah,
people,
man.
When they found a table, they didn't get up.
They didn't get up.
Well, yeah, because if you get up, you're going to lose your spot.
Your mojo.
I played blackjack, and I did really well.
Did you really?
I walked on with $200, walked off with like $480 something.
Good for you.
So it was so I did okay. But you know what? We only played for an hour and a half and we were done. Because I'm like, look, I want to be done on the upside. That way I got a good story to tell. My wife will be happy because she doesn't like to lose. Mm-mm. You know? And you met my wife, right?
I love your wife, by the way. Oh, man. Yeah. My first time ever hanging out with her, she cracked us up, man.
Yeah, she's pretty sweet.
She is great. But the gambling thing, though, you're right, man. People, like, they're so superstitious, too. Like, some of the most superstitious people I've met. Like, if you would move a certain way while watching, they'd get pissed. Like, whoa, what are you doing, bro?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to need you to stand there for 4 more hours. Yeah. No, I'm leaving, but they're crazy.
How was it doing comedy that night? Because I was trying to get there, and it was like,
it was crazy.
Know, madhouse kind of.
Well, we were going to do the comedy originally going out, meaning as we left the dock, we would do it then when people are sober. But we decided to do it on the way back.
And I think it worked out best because my favorite part of the entire night was taking photos with all the listeners and meeting all the listeners.
That was great.
With you guys. That was a lot of fun.
That was a whole lot of fun because there's a lot of people out there who love you guys. I've learned a whole lot of people.
Yeah, we're blessed.
They genuinely love you guys and what you do. So I found that endearing, the fact that people are like, I know you.
Yeah, and you guys did something smart. You guys all wore your shirts.
We did.
Life. You got to promote,
man. We did.
A lot of people there were like, hey, okay, you guys, oh, I'm going to check
And we
you
made some fans.
Out.
Absolutely. Yeah, we did.
No, was my observation correct? And correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe I'm a... it just seems as if, you know, we like, I know I'm very outgoing and gregarious. Of course, you know, so is Carlos. And you are just like loving everybody.
I love everybody.
Miguel Colon is but Devin Siebel. Does he not? Does he not stand off and just?
No. He literally physically stood to the side.
Devin and doesn't talk to anybody.
Devin has kryptonite, and it's called people.
Oh, really?
People scare Devin if they're not. If you're listening to him,
I thought he was mad at me or something.
No. That's just Devin. Every single time we'll be inside the studio talking his butt off, having a great time. We leave, and there's people out there.
Man.
Yeah, that's him. That's
when
his personality.
We got on stage.
He's perfect.
He crushes it.
Yeah.
I was like,
he's a brilliant comedian.
Like, well,
he very is. Very smart writer.
Yeah. I mean, he was loud and good and funny. And I'm like, well, okay, so he's fine. I thought there was something wrong with him.
Oh, no. Well, there is.
Oh.
Well, he's a comic, so.
Yeah.
But I mean, we know. I mean, like, you know, James John's a comic. And he was hugging people and high-fiving.
Speaking of people, though. Your homeboy, Bo.
Wow. You met Bo.
Holy crap.
We didn't hear much Bo experience.
Is that your first Bo experience?
My first.
Oh, and honestly, you got Bo at a 4.
Oh, yeah.
What?
That was not. Oh, no.
Was he on fire that night?
No. It was Bo on 4. It wasn't Bo on 10.
Yeah. Oh, no. He's terrifying on even 8.
We need to talk after this.
Well, the very beginning of the night when I saw Bo, I looked at him. And this is the very beginning, right before we're about to get on the boat. He's like,
pre-sweat?
No, you know. He's always sweating. Yeah, he's always AS. He's AS.
First off, he sounds just like Gary Busey. Which is funny.
And he goes and looks at me and goes, nah, man, you know, just got off work and, you know, I'm just not feeling it, you know, and I'm sober. And I'm like, dude. Well, I was like, whoa, this is right before you. I'm like,
I was there for this.
Dude.
Congratulations.
He goes, oh, hell no. I'm just sober right now.
Because I'm even sober now.
It didn't mean a lifestyle.
I'm looking for a drink.
I thought I was having this huge moment with Bo, and I was like about to hug him, and he just was sober from work to the boat.
Man. It was funny because I was standing right there for that, and I saw Carlos's eyes. You're drinking, and I know we got something in common. Yeah. And Bo goes,
you're about to give him the good
burgers. Yeah. And I'm sober, and he's like, really? And Bo's like, I mean, now, I'm looking for a drink.
He's like, how long? He's like, 4 hours.
like in this moment. I love Bo.
So you party with Bo?
I tried.
No, you're not.
How the hell do I keep up?
Dude.
For 4 hours, that man did not stop.
There's some legendary stories. One of the very first ones, when we first started the show, we were actually at a comedy club. It was Bonkers when it was Janie Lane's.
Oh, my God. Back
in the day, which is downtown, owned by a former, like, 80s, rock guy. And we would go there. Well, we were there for comedy night one night, and we were being featured that night. We were just kind of there in the crowd hanging out, you know, kind of featuring the night. And I'll never forget this. Sitting at the table is me, Russ, Bo, and I think one of the other comics or whatever. The server comes up and says, what can I get you guys? Bo snaps and says, get me a tray of Double Jack and Cokes. Right? A tray.
What?
They bring the tray back, right? And as she's setting them down, Bo is hammering in them. To the point that when she puts the 9th Jack and Coke down, Bo has 6 of them already gone and asked her why she was waiting on getting him another tray of Jack and Coke.
We need another tray.
That's how he paid for
it. I think he would say something like, keep bringing me 2 at a time until I pass out and then just bring 1 at a time.
Yeah, then bring 3.
Hey, anyway, I saw Bo yesterday. I literally was up at Bill Ray Nissan. Yeah. Shout out to Bill Ray Nissan. That man will get you a car very fast. And he goes, you know, I didn't really get that drunk that night.
James, he was not on. I didn't tell a bow story when I came back because there was no real bow story. There have been bow stories that are...
Yeah, there's comfy drunk with bow, and then there's blind slide down a palm tree at a nudist club where it looks like, because palm trees excrete this brown slime.
Yeah.
So when you slide down the palm tree, there's a 30-person hot tub where everybody's naked and having sex, and Bo runs and does a cannonball in it where it looks like he est his pants. Now, we're in Jamaica at a fully nude, you can do everything bar. Imagine like that place Tom Cruise was in where you have to wear the mask,
right? Yeah.
Everything goes. That dude got locked into his room for a full day with a Jamaican security guard in front of his door.
they almost threw
him out of a country.
Almost got thrown out of the country.
In the captain's quarters and we were looking around, yeah. I was keeping an eye out for Bo, because when Bo gets super drunk, he smashes through anywhere that where the driver's up, and he goes, I'm the captain now. And he will commandeer the ship.
So he was on. He was. I'm surprised that you thought he partied really hard, because that was not.
He didn't stop. He didn't sit down. He just kept drinking and running around.
You know that belly he has?
Yeah.
It's actually a Ryobi generator.
It makes sense now.
Powers his little legs.
God bless him. I love him though.
Oh, he's to know that guy's lovable. That's the thing. He's lovable.
Oh my goodness.
That's been my best friend for 100 years.
Yeah. Did he even gamble? I don't even know if he was a gambler. What's he play? Like blackjack or craps or something?
What does he play?
We've been on a bunch of cruises. I've never known Bo as a gambler.
I think he played poker.
Did he really? Wow.
Yeah, he played poker. And I think he played craps with Miguel, I think.
Yeah, because Miguel had a whole table of people go with him. And he played craps. He did very well, by the way.
Did he really?
I like to play poker at.
Well, it was a great time, and obviously we'd like to do it again with you guys.
We'd have to. We sold that ship out.
Yeah, man.
Oh, I know.
It was crazy.
Yeah. Awesome.
That was really good. All right, 407-916-1041. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning. Monsters Mornings, your radio 104.1, broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. Okay, about 20 minutes, your opportunity to go to our website at monsters.fm and check and see if your name is one of the daily five. If your name is one of the daily five, you can win tickets to the Monster Fan Appreciation Show. That's at Universal Studios Orlando. They never do this, man. They've given us 100 tickets to give out. That is a big,
what?
Big... Think about that. If you had to pay for 100 tickets to go to Universal...
Can a brother get six?
Right. And this is a really cool thing. We love Universal Studios. They've always been great to us. And on that day, on August the 4th, we're having a big Monster Fan Appreciation Show. Now, listen, if you don't win the tickets and you want to show up that day, we'd love for you to be with us. We're gonna take a big photo of all the Monster fans together in front of the radio studio. We'll go ride some rides together. Then we're gonna go over to the Monster Cafe and have lunch. Then ride some more rides. Maybe end up at, well, I say maybe. I'm gonna end up at that Irish bar with a bunch of people. I can tell you that's gonna happen.
I've heard that. But
I'll be going around all day. I love the rides. I think the show thing is a good idea for everybody to kind of watch different shows, and they have several awesome shows out there.
Yes, I like the because Savannah said something about going to the Monster Makeup Show.
Definitely doing that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Hey, now Jimmy's cooking right now, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. James John is here, by the way, and you know him from Real Laughs. He's on night here on Real Radio 104.1 with Miguel Colon and Devin Siebel. And we were talking about Bo a little bit more during the break, and I asked you a question, and this is something that Jimmy said a couple weeks ago, and I think Carlos agreed with him, and I don't know if Angel did or not, but okay, this is something they said, and I thought about it afterwards, and when I was riding home, I'm like, well, I don't have a problem with it, but they said it's weird. Oh, here's Jimmy, so he can talk about it. It's weird for a grown man to say he has a best friend.
Really?
That's more for like high school or for when you're younger.
No.
And I'd never heard that before.
No.
Do you agree or disagree with
that? I wholeheartedly disagree with that.
Really?
And let me tell you why.
Why?
When you're younger, you have friends everywhere. That's my friend. Here's my friend. Oh, that's my friend. That's my friend. When you get older, your circle becomes just naturally smaller.
Yeah.
So a person that you can depend on, it's like your brother, someone you know that will be there for you through thick and thin, that has your back. That's your best friend, man. And there's nothing wrong with having that. I say it proudly. I got a best friend, man, and I love him. I tell him, I love you, brother. I really do, because it's just rare to have a friend like that when you're an adult. It really is.
But I mean, there were three guys that kind of agreed that it's weird to say best friend at this age, right?
I think it was more the way that, when you, you know, hey, this is my best friend. Like, best you, like the terminology.
Right, introducing, like,
I thought that's what I think the hang-up was. You know, you do have, like, you do have a close friend, but once you get to an age where you don't have to, like, use that moniker. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? I think that's what we're...
You know, I think both Bo and I are kind of proud of that, you know, because, you know, it's kind of our longest relationships in our lives. Yeah. You know, so it's, I'm a best friend. I don't know.
It's just a different way of saying it.
And it never occurred to me that it sounded weird to other people until the guys mentioned it.
Yeah, I talked about this a couple weeks ago. I was like, because I referred to Code Black as my best friend. I was like, that's kind of odd. I'm a 50-year-old man. That seems so juvenile to refer to another grown man as your best friend. I mean, why do I need to designate that? I just like, yeah, it's my buddy. That my buddy Sean. I mean, that's just I even feel weird saying it.
Do
and
you
not,
really?
And not that I'm isolating anybody else. I think everybody in our group kind of understands that Sean and I are probably and here's the best part. I don't think I'm his best friend.
Right.
Like I don't think I am. Like, I think he has probably a better and closer relationship with two of our other guys in our group.
Yeah.
But I look at him that way because we've just been very close for about 15 years now, and our families are almost integrated because we've been so close. But
do you think Bo and I then are more proud of it because we both consider each other best friends?
I don't know, dude. You guys have known each other for a really long time, and I think it's just kind of part of your vernacular. Like, I've known Sean for 15 years. I've known my buddy Nick and Plackett for many, many years. But we're, you know, and he is a very good friend, but he's, you know, we're not around each other very much anymore. We haven't really shared a lot of each other's lives over the last many, many years. Whereas me and Sean have been together or talk almost every other day about our lives or whatever, you know.
Yeah. It's funny. We were having a discussion yesterday, Carlos, about friendships because Savannah was bringing it up about, you know, long-term friendships. It's kind of... What was she saying? Like, it's kind of hard.
Classic. It's hard to find a classic friendship because, in her estimation, a classic friendship goes up and goes down and is there through the really tough times and is there through the really bad times. And in today's age, people are willing to give up on things a lot quicker, especially friendships. One thing pisses you off, a political thing, a thing you see on Facebook. Difference of opinion in general.
I agree with that 100%. I also believe that as you're going through like puberty and you're going through high school and you have those friendships, you're going through life-changing and personality-defining moments in your life.
Oh, yeah.
The first time you had sex, the first time you didn't have sex, you know, you can have sex. The first time you got drunk, maybe the first time you smoked weed, the first time you told your mom no. The first time you joined a team. So you're doing a lot of firsts with that person in your life, whereas later in your life, you've done all of those things. Right. And this other person is just kind of who you're with now. And I believe also in adulthood, you're more likely to separate, whether it be a job loss or you have to relocate. And that doesn't happen when you're a kid for the most part.
No.
You know that person. You know from eighth grade on, that guy's going to be pretty close to you for a long, long time. And in adulthood, you really don't know that, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
I think it's just a different way of saying it. Like, there is a distinction between friends. Like, Carlos and Angel, like, if we go out, there's an unwritten thing. Like, if Carlos says to me, this is my friend, introducing me to somebody, this is my friend, people know what that means. But if you say to someone, this is my boy,
or my dog.
That's, people are like, oh, they're really close.
Yeah, this
that's
is my
different.
Buddy, this is my dog.
So,
yeah.
So we go out and I say, this is my boy.
People know. Yeah, people are like, oh, that's, they ride or die. Like, that's how it works.
Yeah.
But if you say, this is my friend, they're like, okay, he knows that guy.
Right.
Yeah, that's
right,
a distinction to it.
Hmm. Okay. Well,
yeah.
That's good to know. I didn't know all
there
that.
There you go. I'm here for you, Rush. You need anything?
by the way, none of that written in stone. you can roll in your life exactly how you want to. My observation was just to me, it sounded silly at 50 years old. And to be honest,
I was like, wow, I never even thought anyone would.
What sounds,
think it sounds
sillier is when people over 50 call somebody their girlfriend or boyfriend. That's sillier to me.
That's why I just marry him right away.
Exactly.
But what would you say then?
My lady.
My lady. This is my
girl.
This, is, this yeah. is my,
my
partner.
It's my
this
boo.
Is because I don't know, girlfriend, when it's
sounds
obviously
so
a woman.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's just you wouldn't refer to her as a girl in anything else. It's just, and look.
That's a great parallel, but I believe it's the same thing.
Yeah. Something similar.
I'm seeing this woman.
It's my woman friend.
Yeah, I guess.
Or you could go just completely over the top. Like, this is the woman that I get naked with.
Yeah.
That's not awkward.
No.
We know. We saw the video.
My love. This is my love.
Yeah, this
my
is
love.
The one who's seen my O face.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Well, James John is here. We'll throw this stuff
ask
at him.
Ask me anything.
Yeah. Well, this is something we discussed yesterday late in the show, and this is something that Angel is big on, and that is not introducing your work friends to your long life friends.
Oh, like keeping, like, worlds colliding.
It does worlds colliding.
Keeping those, I keep those camps separate.
I think he's embarrassed of us.
That's what we talk about all the time. Actually.
Somebody texted in this, texted this in as we were closing yesterday, right? Like, for 6 months, you guys didn't know I was in a relationship.
I had no idea.
Insane. 6 months.
I love it.
You know, out of my crew of guys, I think you've got only met one, maybe two of the guys that I roll with.
Yeah.
And I told you it's because they got the goods. They know where the bodies are. They know all that thing. They know that. There's a crew of friends, the people I drink and party with downtown.
Yeah.
You're never gonna meet any of those people.
Okay, but I'm saying that like Bo knows everything with me. He got the good. We buried the bodies together and all that. I don't mind him meeting everybody from
I don't know if it's the Air Force brat in me that has done that. Compartmentalize all these friends and keep everyone separated. Because it's caused me problems in the past, being the way that I am.
Gotcha.
But I haven't changed.
Really? What do you think's gonna happen though? What
will
happen?
You cross the streams and then you end up in a time travel and.
Gotcha.
Like, for example, one of the things I know for sure, if I was to expose you guys to guys in my circle, right?
The plug.
You guys are gonna be like, you're going to change the way that you think about
it. Wow. Well, I've met a couple of your friends. Nice?
No. Like JoJo, you haven't met him. You haven't met Manny. You haven't met those guys have made certain life choices and certain things that you're going to be like, oh, wow, okay, that's different, you know?
Okay.
And then you're going to look at me and you're like, that's one of your guys? And it's like, yeah.
Damn.
And they're gonna be like,
"What do they used to be girls or something?"
No. I never knew I could do this with a shipping container. Wow, that's a whole industry.
Okay. I'm picking up what you're laying down. I got friends like that.
I'm clueless. What he said.
We'll talk later.
But I get you. Do you agree with that? And keeping those separate,
you have to.
Huh.
You definitely have to, especially in the comedy realm, because comics are sleazy.
And really?
Yeah, they are, man.
I'm not saying this disrespectfully. Just from my view, going to a lot of these open mic nights and seeing a bunch of these guys, it's like a pack of hyenas. They go and they move together. They hunt together.
Mm-hmm.
They do, and they love hate each other.
Yep.
They love each other right up until one of them has a better joke than the other one. Then they can't stand the guy right to their face. Oh, great set. The whole time thinking, I hate your guts because that joke was better than mine. Now,
oh, really?
It's all that friendly rivalry thing. None of them really do. I mean, it's a relatively tight-knit group. I mean, there's always some outliers, but that is really. And if I was in that group, I would never introduce those people to my friendship. Never. Because it's a totally different world, really.
It is. It definitely is. He's right. I mean, there's some guys you can count on. There's some people like Ken Miller, of course, Miguel, and Devin that you
Ken's
can count on.
Ken's the Godfather.
On. Yeah, the Godfather comedy. It's absolutely true. But there's a lot of guys who you will see that you work with that don't really want you to do well. They don't want you to do well at all. And if you do, like, there's people who will see us on that cruise and all the pictures, like, yeah, that's why does he get to do that?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, to hell with that guy. Yeah. And smile on your face when you see him.
Texting service checking in. I think this is a pretty good. And I think, Russ, and I'm not saying this to be an ass. I'm just saying I believe that you'll understand because I know it changed for me. I got divorced in 94. My work didn't know until late 96. So he was divorced for 2 years. Work had no clue because he kept it tight. Kind of borrowing from that, I know that when I got divorced, my entire friend group changed 100%.
Oh yeah, that does happen.
Yeah, so I mean,
I'm familiar with that.
Yeah. It's kind of like that, you know, because I mean, you have your work friends, but your personal friends can change a lot. Your work people, you see them every day.
Yeah.
So it's a little weird thing.
Yeah.
Very cool. What do you guys? Are you guys got anything special coming up?
I definitely do. Well, I will be in St. Cloud, Florida, this Friday and Saturday at Porky's Comedy Club.
Somebody's already texted in saying they're going to see you this week.
I love them. Thank you. Please come out and support me, man. Friday and Saturday shows are 8:00.
You will laugh your ass off, man.
Yeah.
You will laugh your ass off.
And I might show you mine.
You had a great set, by the way.
Thank you.
On the boat. I mean, all you guys did. Everybody was great. I mean,
thank you.
It was a lot of fun doing that with you. Of course, Ryan Holmes came along, and Vince Taylor came along,
a guy named Eddie Sass, who's a comic, also came out.
Oh, okay.
I saw a picture of Mike Charette. Was he on the cruise as well or no?
No,
maybe
not.
It's just somebody that looked like him or whatever.
Another millennial that looks sad.
You got it.
That's bad for that dude.
This weekend in St. Cloud, do you have any locals featuring for you or opening up or working with you?
I have Kermit Gonzalez and Kevin White will be working with me.
Right on.
Yeah, man.
Thank you. Kermit.
Very cool.
And oh, yeah, you know Kermit.
I want to remind you once again, people are asking about this, the skate party I was talking about. It's going to be on August the 10th. Okay, it's a Friday night. Represent your school. Bring some school supplies for your kids going back to school for a gift for teaching. And it's going to be a skate night. And it's one of the very few times Real Radio is doing something that's family friendly. So Carlos will host that, and you guys are excited about it. You and Savannah are super excited about the skate night, right?
Hell yeah. It's going to be super fun, and we're going to get a bunch of supplies for the kids
nice.
For gift for teaching.
And I'm instead of doing the couple skate, I'm going to do pinball tournament.
No, dude.
You can't rewrite this.
I just rewrote it.
You're doing pinball tournament.
You need to talk to Carlos B. Lawyers because we had a contract.
Okay. Right? All right. When we come back, it's time for Deborah Roberts to bring us the real news. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning.
We've all quit Facebook and started talking to each other again. What's that? Nobody's quit Facebook? Facebook.com/RealRadioOrlando.
Guys are saying they'll play pinball with us if you don't get a pinball tournament going. I disagree with that. I think you should skate, but a pinball tournament would not be the worst thing ever. When's the last time you played pinball, dude?
I've not played pinball in a while, but I used to play. I used to play all the time. We had one in our garage.
Well, we got to make sure they have a pinball machine there at this place.
I know. It's a whole different world.
I know. I assumed that because it was a skating rink, it would have a pinball machine. But maybe
I don't think it does.
Yeah, we can find out real quick.
Yeah, but it's Astro Skate August 10th. Man, I'm excited.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be the Monster Back to School Skate Party. Oh, we should get Deborah Roberts to come.
Okay, let's take bets.
Okay, don't say anything,
Don't
Deborah.
Say anything. Don't say anything. Don't even give a flinch of the face or anything like
can
that.
Can Deborah Roberts skate?
Yes.
You say yes or no.
I'm going to go yes because you're going to come to our skating party on August 10th at Astro Skate. You're going to be there for the kids. You're going to be there for the fun. And that's what I think. Yeah.
You say yes, she can skate. What do you think, Dirty Jim? Do you think Deborah Roberts can skate?
Look at me. Yes.
You say yes.
All right.
Angel?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
James John?
I just watched the woman walk, and it looks like she's already on skates.
Oh, God, an idiot.
So yeah. I will be the contrarian then, and I will say, because I can't skate, I will, I can, but
yeah,
I'm not very
you
well.
You and Deborah are same people.
I don't skate backwards. I know. You like.
I mean, just when I think of Deborah, I think of Russ.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're one and the same. I'll just say no just to be against everybody, just for the hell of it. Deborah Roberts, can you skate?
I used to be able to skate. Can I still skate? I have no idea.
Oh, yeah. It's like a bike. It takes a little bit where you put them on and you're like, first, if you haven't skated in a while, you'd be like, oh my God, I'm going to die. But then you give it a little bit, and the next thing you know, man, you're back on the, and then you're back on the
ramp. There you go.
And the music's going. Yeah. And next thing you're having a good ass time.
Skating
so.
Backwards.
Exactly.
You can skate backwards splits. Back in the day.
Oh no.
No. Okay. Agree.
No, I can.
Can you ice skate?
No.
I've never. A little bit. I can ice skate.
The last time I tried to ice skate, I fell, and I thought I was going to break my.
Yeah. Actually, they sent Nat Geo out to measure the ice.
Yeah.
The pond sued us.
Yeah, it was bad.
We've never seen anything like this.
I was in Minnesota, and it was actually one of those lake things, and I thought I was going to break the ice, and everybody was going to fall into the lake and die.
Yeah. It doesn't seem that they have pinball machines. They do have arcade games.
Yeah.
Air hockey and ski ball and stuff like that.
Air hockey. Oh, they've got a Chex hockey machine.
Russ.
No, they don't have that.
You're doing the. You got to be a part of the couple skate. You love.
I can't
skate. You got to get the people out there, man. That's why I designated that to you, bro. Right.
Yeah, I know. My wife can't. She can't skate backwards. She says she can skate forward fine. So she's like, so you'll have to skate backward. I'm like, I can't even skate forward. there's no way I'm going to skate backwards.
Just have somebody push you.
Yeah, that's a good point. I can do that. Anyway, what's going on in the real news, Deborah Roberts?
Let's see what we've got today. Well, we've got 3D printed guns.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, the Justice
They've been
Department.
Doing that for a while, right?
Yeah, no, but not at this level.
Actually, they haven't because the Justice Department, well, one of the bigger companies, Defense Distributed, I believe is their name, has had a three-year-old lawsuit about putting these blueprints out on the internet. And the Justice Department just ruled yesterday that, yes, in less than 2 weeks, as of August 1st, firearm blueprints will be available over the internet.
Well,
so it's
really,
going to be a whole new world.
There's a whole lot of reasoning as to why that shouldn't happen. There's a documentary called Print the Legend that talks all about 3D printing, and it goes into
weapons and how easily they can be made. And
how
and
you'll have no control over who's making them, including convicted felons, and potential terrorists, school shooters.
I told this story the other day. I was watching an old, old episode from the 40s of a Twilight Zone, and that was one of the things that they someone invented something that could make a 3D printer, and the first thing that people wanted to do was print guns. And, I mean, that was way back in the 40s they were worried about.
Wow. Yeah, and imagine this. So this is on the real physical level, but when you're talking great AI or bio, you know, chemistry dealing with weapons in that sense, that's what gets real scary.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they just developed a weapon in China that could literally incinerate you from like a quarter mile away. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like stupid crazy.
That's why we should all try and get along. We should all be nice.
True that.
Get along, because it's only going to get more insane. Elon Musk talks about it all the time. The way we're going to get to Mars is 3D printing. We've never had that ability before, you know, to be able to bring the supplies and then boom, make it, and then have that part for that thing.
Right, yeah, print a part right there in case something breaks.
And that's why they have one on the ISS.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they have a 3D printer on the International Space Station so that it can help them, because it makes it a lot easier for them to print the material than to constantly have to either wait for a launch or have, you know, and then something happens, and then you have to wait that much longer for that material to get to you.
Yeah, that's a big reason why they say there's going to be an international wage, because things are going to become so cheap, because 3D printing is going to be able to pop up everywhere, and it's just fascinating to really look into when you look into how what the scope is with that.
Including the 3D printer that makes pancakes.
What? Whoa, wait a minute.
Yes, yeah. It can make a pancake of your face in a 3D printing.
Oh, man. I'm
including the proper shading where it should be.
Oh,
shadows
beautiful.
And stuff like
so
that.
So it really looks like you.
It really How looks you like you.
Well, look
you
at my face. I got a lot of nooks and crannies.
That's an English muffin printer. It's different.
I'll be damned.
If you want a printer, if you want a waffle of the, or a pancake of the Eiffel Tower, it can make that. It's a 3D printer. You just have to pour the batter in, and out comes your pancake.
3D printed houses. You guys seen those?
Yeah, out of concrete.
Yeah, out of concrete.
Have you seen that thing? It's crazy.
Literally goes around, and the next thing you know, you come back, and there's a house.
Wow.
You know, it could help the homeless issue, you know, or after storm recovery. You know, we have wildfire victims up in East Point in the Franklin County in the Panhandle who are still waiting for mobile homes and structures for the controlled burn that got out of control and burnt down everything that they own, their homes, their boats, their cars.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have a 3D printed concrete house that could take care of a lot of people who are left homeless after tragedy.
And it's just a matter of time before they turn that in out of concrete and even make it lighter and more durable with that super high density foam products that they have now that are incredible when it comes to insulation and being tough. I'm telling you, that's just right around the corner as well.
Angel, yes.
Hey, Deborah, do we have any updates or any breaking news or anything, any leads or we're aware of that just horrible shooting that happened in Pine Hills with a pregnant mom and the kids getting wounded and everything?
No, we do not. They are still looking, and of course, the family is begging anybody with information. You guys, like you always talk about, having your relationship with Crime Line. If you know anything about that case, definitely call that one in. A real rash of deaths reported yesterday. A man and a woman found dead in an apartment in a homicide in Pine Hills. A two-year-old child found dead.
Oh, my God.
They haven't said the cause of death, haven't released a lot of details about that. Another man found shot to death in Washington Shores, I believe.
And just like 4 days ago, two people found dead in a home in Kissimmee as well, right? Yes. They didn't know what was going on. I mean, it's like crazy right now.
It really is. Speaking of the heat, the Florida Highway Patrol, the Florida Department of Children and Families really warning parents. You know, it's easy to do. We had a woman Tuesday afternoon in Orange City who forgot an eight-month-old baby boy in the back seat of the car.
Now, it wasn't her child, right?
I don't believe so.
Yeah.
And he died?
No, he survived.
Good. He survived. She was like, I just forgot. Like she was really upset with herself, but she's still going to be arrested. And
She was arrested, and she does face child neglect charges, but she is a perfect example of why we shouldn't judge. Because she's a nurse who works in the hospital who said, you know, I've seen kids brought in from hot cars. I've said myself, how the hell do you forget a baby in the back of a car?
Yeah.
And yet it happened to me.
I sort of felt bad. I feel bad
it's
for the
okay
baby.
To feel bad
but I felt
for
bad
them.
For her because it's not like she's a person that's
out of all the times it's happened, there's only been one horrific seems to be case of it with that one dude who was
in
texting
Georgia.
In Georgia.
I don't believe that. Don't believe that.
You don't think it was on purpose?
I don't believe he did it on purpose. Yeah. No, I don't. I really don't.
That's what he was.
I haven't really looked into it as much. It seemed there's a lot of stuff about his relationships or maybe cheating. But
oh, he was sexting without a doubt, and he was sexting with underage girls as well.
But you don't believe he...
I don't, and I agree with his ex-wife. I really do.
Oh, his ex-wife?
She took the stand on his behalf and said, I do not believe under any circumstances he planned to do this. He's an idiot, and I will hate him forever. Not because he left our, because he forgot our son in the car, but because of how he conducted himself as a husband, you know, for her to find all of that out. But yeah, she went on the stand and said she didn't believe he did it. And, you know, I watch an exorbitant amount of investigation discovery.
That's what I was asking you. I figured you had seen it. Do you know where it's at now?
A couple of stories. Oh, he's in prison.
Oh, wow.
Oh, he's in prison for the rest of his life.
Damn.
Yeah, absolutely. So it has real life consequences. You know, for the 33-year-old woman, she had just dropped off several other children with a family member in DeBary. Forgot the 8-month-old. I think the part that angers people the most about her story is that it was 20 minutes after a Good Samaritan had seen the child in the car with the windows rolled up, pulled on the door handle, found the car was unlocked, and was able to get the baby out. But the Megan Burgess is her name, didn't show up until 20 minutes after.
What was she doing? What
that
was going
911
on?
Call.
But she didn't know,
sexting
right?
That guy in prison.
She had forgotten that she had left the baby there. So
right.
sees all the commotion around her car and
hey,
she
what's
goes
going on here?
Out. Yeah,
hey,
exactly.
And let's not forget that daycare death. The kid was left in the van for like a day and that thing was and that's another one of those gross oversights. When they interviewed that lady, you could see the horror in her soul that happened on her watch. But that kid was in the back of the van. You couldn't see him. It was left in the van for how long? Like a day, right?
12 hours.
Oh my God.
Wasn't that the case though? She wasn't even qualified to be doing the job that she was doing.
She was not.
She was not qualified. They had been shut down by DCF before. And the other really egregious part about that case was that the child was marked as present, even though no one had set eyes on him.
Wow,
man.
So that's why no one bothered
to
go.
Home Alone situation.
Exactly. Nobody bothered to go and look for him because they'd already marked him as present. So nobody bothered to go out to the van to see if a baby had been left back there.
Damn.
I know there are a bunch of these apparatuses that will warn you that a child is still left in the car.
Yeah.
And you got to get messages them all the time. A lot of listeners actually are really behind them.
RK's developed a technology.
Yeah,
he's getting ready. The app that he's getting ready to develop, and I don't know how far along he's on it, but I know he's presented it to certain counties locally.
So I'm wondering when we're going to see that at Target. When we're going to see that in the App Store. When we're going to see, maybe it's already there. I haven't had a young child in a while, so...
Yeah, but I mean, that person will rightly become a billionaire.
Yeah.
You know, because
every parent will do it.
After Texas, Florida had the most heat-related deaths of children. I mean, we've had, I think it's over 80 kids over the last 20 years, 84 children who've died of heat-related deaths.
Really? Died from it? Wow.
In Florida in the last 20 years, including two already this year.
We're number one.
Internationally, I wonder how that is. I wonder if it's just a cross-the-board kind of thing.
It's a people thing.
Yeah.
It's a people thing. You get busy. You get outside of your routine. You know, today the husband drops off the kids instead of the wife.
Right.
He gets in his car, and we all do it. You get in your car, and you don't know how you've made it to work because you're on autopilot.
Yeah.
You know, because you're just your car knows where to go. You go the same way every day. You leave at the same time.
Multiple kids and multiple activities, Little League, dance class, whatever the case may be.
ROTC.
You get into a thing where you're dropping kids off and picking them up, and you genuinely don't. You just know the path.
And that's why that just happened actually on the Gulf Coast. I believe it was in Hillsborough County over the weekend where there was, again, a head count done, and a teacher had miscounted one child twice.
Right.
So they forgot. One child who a mother and her child ended up finding this child passed out from heat exhaustion.
Oh my God.
So it happens everywhere. It's just, I think we need to cut each other some slack, give each other a break. Everyone's harried and has a busy schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Good Samaritan and, you know, Jessica Kaiser is her name of Volusia County who saved that baby boy. I mean, she really deserves the credit of this story rather than, you know, demonizing.
Did you see the it was a news report, and I think it was definitely video because I saw it, of a particular, I don't know who it was, but it was a local attorney who got a DUI. And did you see that at all?
I didn't see the attorney. I saw that there was a police officer.
Oh, was it a police officer?
An OPD officer who fell down on his face during a sobriety check.
That's the one. Oh, okay, you're right. It was a police
Cunningham,
officer. I thought it was, okay. My goodness, I've never seen anyone that drunk before.
You may not have seen it.
Jimmy, let me rewind you.
Okay.
Damn, dude, why'd you open up that can of worms?
Let's say.
I've seen you orange juice walking in the rain crying.
Okay, but I wasn't in a car. What I should have said was, what I meant to say was, after driving.
You fell asleep in a club more than once.
But I wasn't driving.
You were with Carlos. They had to wake you up.
I rode you like the T-Rex on Jurassic World for about 20 minutes. You didn't even know it.
I misspoke. What I meant to say was.
Wooden.
No, but I mean, this guy was driving and he gets out of the truck and he walks around and he falls flat on his face right in front of the cop. I mean, it was. And they asked him for his ID. He gave him his Visa card.
All right.
The cup wins out of taking it.
Hey, listen, I don't know if you want to stick around or not, but when we come back, it's meat of the week.
Yeah.
Okay, I figured you would. All right,
you know the TV commercial, does a bear? Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Mox of the Morning. Hey, thanks for listening to the Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. If you haven't already done it, you need to go to the website, monsters.fm, and check and see if your name is one of the five for the Daily Five. If it is, you could win tickets to it's the Monster Fan Appreciation Show, August the 4th at Universal Studios. They've given us 100 tickets to give out. They never do that. It's going to be a big, big party that day at Universal. So, go see if your name is one of the five. Then let Blog and Molly know it's you, and bam, you win those tickets. What's up, guys? I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel Carlos. Deborah Roberts is here, along with James John from A Real Laughs, and now it's time for Meat of the Week.
Look at that.
It's okay. It's got bacon around it, so we know that's
for
good.
The win, Jimmy, for the win.
Remember when you wouldn't eat this because it was meat?
I know, Russ. But now it's a new day.
I was so mad at you then.
I know. You hated me then.
To the top.
I looked at you differently. I'm like, why?
I know. Well, guess what? I look at you differently now, too.
How could you not eat meat?
Man. Yeah.
This is filet mignon, right?
That is filet mignon. Yeah. the great thing about getting beef at a shop that specializes in selling, good quality meats, right? Proteins, whether it be pork, whether it be chicken, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. They have a link to people that can get you the really good stuff, which means this. When you go to the grocery store, you try to buy the highest level. When you go to a store like Petty's, where it really is a gourmet meat shop, you can buy choice grade steaks that have marbling, like the restaurants you eat at. Mm-hmm. And this is basically what you have here. These are their choice filet, bacon wrap filets, their Applewood in-house bacon wrapped around a filet mignon. And you basically sear them. They will even pre-sear them for you if you want, which means you bring them home and stick them in the oven for 15 minutes at 350 and they're done.
Is that so tender just because of the way that they...
It's tender because...
Age it or...
Yeah, honestly, it's a great question. It's tender because they get to pick where they do business. And they get really good choice-grade beef from farms right here in Florida. I believe there's a Florida beef, and then there's farms outside of this, of course, Texas, Oklahoma. We're a giant beef producer here in Florida. And they can really pick that quality meat that gives you that flavor that Carlos just reacted to. Guys, there's no sauce. There's no sauce. This is just great beef flavor with good cooking technique.
Wow. Where's the A1?
There's no A1. That's salt and pepper, man. That's all that is salt and pepper. But when you buy good quality products, you don't have to worry about laying it down with garlic and stuff like that. Not that that hurts, but you don't have to put compound butter on it. Again, not that that hurts, but you do get great flavor. Mm. And I'll tell you where these really shine is when you throw these on the egg and get a little of that smoke flavor and mix them with that smoke flavor of the bacon into the beef. That's when it's a game changer.
So my in-laws went to Bear and Bull, I think.
The out there at the Waldorf.
Yeah, and my father-in-law had a filet, and I used to only eat filet. Is that like a no-no amongst steak people, or is that just like the ketchup on hot dog thing?
Dude, that is such a great question. It's funny. I do a cooking show, and nobody asks questions that intricate. But really, to be honest with you, start watching steak menus in good restaurants. Guess what's really getting the most money? Bone-in ribeye. Because the fat content gives you the best flavor. Filet doesn't have fat, but there's some people who just like that good beef flavor, and they don't want the fat. But when you get a strip, you're going to get better marbling. you know, and you're going to get a lot of flavor. So those bone-in ribeyes, that's what I order when I go to a nice steak place. I do not order filet. I feel like I'm cheating myself out of the best beef flavor by doing that, and I try to order always steak with a bone in there because for some reason it just has a better flavor and it cooks more tender to me.
I used to think that was what you got, though, the ultimate, like, you always get a filet. You know, like, of course, wherever you go, but then I was like, oh, wait a second, no.
There are many menus where you look where the filet actually isn't the most expensive right. steak on the menu, but it's, you know, stereotypically it is.
What's this green stuff sitting by my meat?
Yeah, it's weird.
Rustic. You might want to get that looked at.
What's that weird stuff?
Stick with me here, Russ. In America, we call that a salad.
Oh.
Now,
I heard of that.
And I'm glad you mentioned that as well. Again, we talk about all the great diversity that Petty's has. Well, this is their in-house Caesar. And the reason this is important, so Petty's not only a meat shop, Petty's knows how to cook. I will tell you, that crouton that they make in-house, I'm actually going to call Allison after the show. She owns Petty's and ask her out what they have on that. It is magnificent. And the bite is great. It's just lettuce, their in-house creamy Caesar, and some croutons, Asiago cheese, a little stanky Asiago. Mm-hmm. And it's great. And it actually works as a great foil for the beef. I can see it's cooked pretty well, too. You guys good on the temperature there?
It's perfect, yeah.
And guys, I basically seared that off of my cast iron, threw it in the oven for 15 minutes, and it's all done. Let Beautiful it rest done. For 10 minutes, cut it up, and you guys are eating with plastic forks and knives.
When plastic can cut the meat, you know, that's good stuff.
This meal was my introduction to steak, like in the sense of restaurants. Like when I first go into a restaurant, like filet and a Caesar salad, and it was usually Outback.
Yeah, when you go to the really up there filet places where they're getting that prime beef, that's a different game. When you go to Christner's and you visit that family over there at Christner's, that Alice and those guys are just the best people ever, and they just celebrated a giant anniversary, I think 25 years.
Yeah.
They're great people, and that filet they have there, that's prime beef. So when you see the filet is like $38, know this. They probably paid $25 for it. I'm not joking. That beef is expensive even wholesale. Hmm. So it's just the highest possible quality with the best marbling, and we love those guys. So thanks, Petty's. 434 in Longwood, right across from Kobe. Can't miss them.
Yep, great folks. They got great and try their meatloaf. I got to tell you what. Yeah, sounds ridiculous, but their meatloaf is awesome.
And their in-house meatballs are hard to beat as well.
All right, you're listening to the Monster of the Morning. Hey, thanks for listening to the Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. Coming up very soon, we're going to do a skate night. I want you to join us. That's going to be on August the 10th. And then the Monster Fan Appreciation Show, that's August the 4th. So try to win tickets.
I thought you meant the skating rink.
No, August 10th is the skate night, and then August 4th is the Monster Fan Appreciation at Universal Studios Orlando. You also can win tickets for Universal to see Fast and Furious this weekend if you go to the website. Just go to realradio.fm. There's always kinds of ways to win if you go to the website at monsters.fm.
And you guys said you liked it, right?
I liked it a lot. You know, I heard people go, it's not, I don't know. I heard people like dissing it, and I'm like, what do you expect? The ride is awesome.
I didn't get to drive the car, dude. I didn't meet Vin.
Someone said, why would we be in a big bus?
The Rock wasn't there.
Made this ride, I would make it, we were in a Ferrari.
Right.
Yeah, because they're cheap.
Now it's time for Carlos. Take it to the top.
Let's go. Cookie, good morning, everybody. Hello, my name is Carlos Alberto Navarro. Oh, my God. Almost choked there on a little piece of steak.
Choke, you can do it.
Damn. I tapped the wrong pipe. Oh, my God.
You hate when that happens?
That was the last little bit of steak, dude.
You wasted it, man. You wasted it on...
Yeah.
That wrong pipe action.
Ooh. Yeah.
That steak was good, by the way. Just so y'all know.
Jimmy,
and
nice.
If you go to Petty's and you say, "Hey, I heard about it on the radio," they'll know exactly. You can say
they have a little sticker.
Yeah,
it says Monsters Meat of the Week, and they move it around the case to let you know what's Meat of the Week.
Yeah.
But if you tell them, they'll walk you right to it.
It's so delicious. It's got Lowe's crying.
Yeah. I mean, I'm crying over it,
tearing up over it.
And the cool thing is, like all the guys who work there are like fans of the show. So when I come in, everybody comes up to say hey and stuff, and we're kind of synonymous with that place now. You know,
I love it. I love it. And go check it out. Get that steak and enjoy it. Russ, there's some bacon left. You want that bacon?
No, it's okay. I don't want to go a mania on, you know.
Yeah, that's right. I was thinking the same thing.
Too much bacon will make you maniac.
Hello, everybody. Yes, my name is Carlos Alberto Navarro, and this is To the Top every single morning. Try and take it to the top, make you think, make you laugh, whatever it may be. And today is no different. There is a bunch of stuff going on in the world today. And yeah, I did want to mention again the skating rink party we have going on August 10th. It's going to be huge. We're going to bring a bunch of supplies for the kids. They're going back to school. You can wear your team alma mater. Yeah, yeah, you got that. Yeah, hell yeah, Angel. Thank you. You know, I'm skating a lot now. I want to join a team. I think I want to join a professional skating team. Because I did win that one race like a couple months ago.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And ever since then, I've trained at least once a month. And I'm buying skates for this event. Well, actually, I'm buying skates just in general.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. This is something I'm not playing around. Like, my wife and I are actively trying to make this a pastime or a hobby of ours. And I'll tell you why. This is the motivational minute. This is a motivational minute. Mm-hmm. Okay, ready? Even when you love your job and we're blessed, and a lot of people are blessed to do what they want to do for a living. We get to talk on the show. We get to act. We get to cook. We get to DJ. We get to write comic books. It's still work, right? You know, there's still work associated with it. So when all of you do, when the only thing you do is just associated with your work, it will drive you crazy, even though you love it.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to find something that's totally off base. And that's what skating is. There's nothing that I'm going to do that is kind of works with my work. Well, I guess other than throwing this event. But it's something that you can do for fun. And my wife is trying to get better at it because she's a little sketchy on it. So you'll see me.
Now, can she skate?
She's kind of like you. She's a little apprehensive about it.
It's a February 12th thing.
Yeah, I think so. it's Aquarius people.
Yeah, there.
But it's August 10th. We'll have a lot more information at monsters.fm. Now, guess what is right around the corner, guys? Well, I shouldn't say right around the corner. It's not an event or anything, but there is something that is threatening.
Oh,
the big dog of the market. What has the total monopoly on the market on streaming movies? What company would that be?
Netflix.
That's right. And what is? I mean, anybody to go against Netflix has been crushed, right? Pretty much like Blockbuster tried to do
I mean, Amazon gives them a good run. I mean, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, Amazon Prime's, I think, taking probably the best
Amazon
shot
Prime,
at them.
Yeah.
No doubt. But I think somebody's coming around the corner that is going to do an even better job, and I think Netflix should be worried a little bit.
Hulu.
Not Hulu.
Is it that company called Internet on Things?
No. It's a company we all know and love.
Blockbuster.
No, they're almost done. Literally almost extinct, except if you go to Oregon.
Apple.
Bigger than Apple.
Bigger than Apple.
I shouldn't say. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, right in that same world.
Well, Amazon's bigger than Apple.
You ready? Walmart.
Oh, God.
Walmart is weighing. Not capital wise, they have more cash on hand. But if you were to combine all the net worth of Walmart's heirs to one, I think it'd be the richest person in the world.
It's pretty close to that. Yeah. All the Waltons, I think, are at $47.5 to $50 billion. I think there's three or four of them.
So Walmart is weighing the launch of its own video streaming service to take on directly Netflix, its chief rival, and its chief rival, Amazon. The retail giant believes a service priced at $8 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Would appeal to a massive customer base. Now, what are we talking? That's a $3 or $4 difference, or maybe even a dollar difference.
Yeah. And the only thing you get, though, is Foxworthy and Cable Guy movies.
And you know what? This is what they're going after. Walmart is also considering a free streaming service that would be supported just by their revenue. That's an Amazon move. Yeah. That is a straight-up Amazon move. Amazon didn't make money for the longest time because they kept reinvesting in the product and in their business, and now they're definitely getting paid for it. But Walmart's jump into video streaming would be another battlefront for the company to duke it out with Amazon.
Do we know, is anyone aware of if Walmart has bought a streaming server? Because this is what Walmart's move is. Internally, they probably don't have the technology or the infrastructure to launch this. So they, like, when they wanted to get into banking, they went out and bought a bank.
Yeah.
A small in-store bank franchise, and they used that to start to get into the banking and to get the FDIC licensing and all that kind of stuff. So I'm curious if it's rumored or if anyone's aware if they've purchased a streaming service already.
Well, I think you are. I haven't seen that, but I think you're absolutely right that they would do that. And well, that's actually right here. Vudu, Walmart's video on demand service.
VUDU.
Yeah, so they already do have
something. Okay.
Yeah,
and that's part of. And by the way, that's part of one of those Blu-ray platforms that we were talking about the other day, Carlos. When you get with the players, you bring them up. It has
Voodoo
like
comes up. Yeah.
It has like, you know, Voodoo and Hulu and all those other ones.
Yeah. I didn't know that was them.
And there's nothing on that. But I will tell you what's very interesting. Walmart is basically in a fight for their life right now against Amazon.
I bet. Yeah.
If you think about it, I mean, because we know Amazon's attacking their ability to, or Walmart launched that delivery service to go directly compete with Amazon Prime and their delivery service.
Right.
And yet this is another way. So basically, this is a fight of titans you're seeing right now.
It is. I mean, the same way that Amazon diversified into all these different things that they're doing, Walmart is seeing, we have to do the same thing. This whole brick and mortar deal is going to be here for a little bit longer, but everybody is going to have things shipped to them because it's going to be so easy. But I'll be interested to see how that all is. You know, it's an arms race when it comes to media and content 100%. And everything, you know? And the kind of same related news, there is a tour. You know, it's amazing how much movies and TV and music affect real cities and their economies. There was a show that affected the San Francisco economy so much that there was too many of these tours going on that they had to put it to a stop.
I know what it is.
Tell me, please.
It's Full House.
Yeah,
Full House,
that's right. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how much you guys saw that, but
I didn't see the story, but when you said it, that's the first thing I thought of, because I know so many people that whenever they go to San Francisco, they're going to the Full House tour.
Yep. Yeah.
When you drive around those streets in San Fran, where those homes are, what do you think those homes are going for? Like a house like you see on Full House that has a view of the bay there, what do you think that runs?
1.2?
2 million, 3 million?
I would say in the $1.5 to $3 million range for your basic 3-2. And by the way, your driveway is a 90-degree angle.
Yeah.
You're basically parking on a wall.
Yeah, they had to cancel the tours because people were just stopping too much.
And those roads are dangerous. When you come over those hills, you can't really see where you're going.
Nope.
So driving in that city is terrifying at first.
Hmm. Yeah, so yeah, they had to cancel them. And Full House is one of Netflix's biggest shows.
It's amazing, man.
You know,
well, Dave Coulier just made a big return with that commercial he has right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just because, too, what it is nostalgia, right?
Like, totally.
These people, they've grown up, they remember watching when they were kids, so it's a nostalgia thing.
And then you connect it with your own kids, and they watch it because it's family-friendly, and it's a win-win overall. Same with Cobra Kai. I'm wondering when they'll do something with Saved by the Bell, something like that. They got to bring that back somehow.
Oh, really? Was that big?
It was that big.
They have brought it back several times, haven't they?
There's a skit called Zach Morris is Trash. Zach Morris is Trash, which is funny as hell. it's on Funny or Die, but they haven't done anything. But I think they had. That's a gold mine, man.
Yeah.
Moving forward, do something with it. But yes, I am going to Universal Studios later, bringing my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Might bring my nephews. But that's a lot more work. And then they want to buy more stuff.
Yeah.
You know what sucks more than dealing with one kid?
Yeah. But I'm okay. I'm pretty good with a group of kids. They kind of listen to me because I'm loud and they know I'm a little crazy. And then I'm doing a lot of the stuff that they like to do.
Sure, yeah.
But
splash pad like crazy.
But I'm debating on taking them all or just my daughter. What do you think? That'd be cool, Uncle.
You know what? They'll never forget it. How often do they get to go?
Or they'll forget it by Sunday.
Right, exactly.
Do they get along?
They do all very well. Yeah.
Take them all.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take them all. I'm going to give them a holler here. And
that way you can sneak off and grab a beer.
Will your wife go with you?
No, it's way too hot right now.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Way too. And we're going August 3rd and 4th. We're staying the weekend out there. Universal has been nice enough. I mean, we're just great partners with Universal, and it's so amazing to be able to say that.
Yeah, because people were asking. They were like, well, for the Monster Fan Appreciation Show, you normally do that on a Friday. What we're doing is we're going to be out at Universal on Friday, but the fan appreciation party is Saturday morning, and we're going to be live on the radio then too. So we're going to be Friday and Saturday, and playing music on Saturday, and then we'll be able to hang out with people and do everything that Saturday at the Universal Studios. But yeah, we will be broadcasting live from there on Friday morning as well. So we're kind of at Universal all weekend.
Yeah. So my wife will definitely experience it. Then it's nice to go out there and you go to the hotel and you come back and you ride back and forth. So we're going to do that whole deal.
Which hotel are you doing? Do you know?
Did we pick them yet?
No, I don't know that they picked them yet.
Yeah.
Sometimes they wait and find out what the vacancies are before they make the deal.
I think we're staying at Sapphire, the new one.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Yeah, the new one that's come out. It's somebody's birthday today that I think is one of the best actors in the world, man. And he's just, and it's not like I've seen a ton of his stuff, but every time I see him, I'm like, this guy is so freaking good. And I thought he was older.
Bob Denver.
Joaquin Phoenix.
No, I like Joaquin Phoenix.
No, he's brilliant.
No, he is amazing. Sure.
They announced what the name of the movie is going to be, the DC movie that he's going to be, and it's just called Joker. And
so it's going to be about his comedy.
It's yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's going to be about that stand-up graphic novel where he was that stand-up comedian.
Dude, I mean, that guy is brilliant. Oh, yeah. And that's another guy that's borderline crazy getting into the whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, really, is it possibly Jake Gyllenhaal?
No, but I like Jake Gyllenhaal.
Another great script chooser.
This guy is in a new TV series, and I can't remember if it's on Netflix or HBO, but he plays somebody. He does it with an American accent. He's not American. Well, it's Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly what show you're talking about, too.
Yeah, and it really, I saw it, I was like, oh, wow. He's very believable in this one as well. He's Doctor Strange, he's Doctor Who, he's a million things. And he's supposed to be a real-life badass, too. Like, in general, like, he stood up for a woman that was getting, attacked
or something.
She was
getting mugged.
Yeah, and he's out there, and, you know,
He was in that movie about where he was gay, right? Was
That was the one that wrote the computer code, right?
Exactly. Yeah, he broke the Germans that machine they had.
Yeah, we've brought this up before, and we always forget what the hell the name of the movie is. But I actually never saw it. You saw it?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's a great story. It really is.
And then another birthday of a guy that's unfortunately he's a bit infamous, and while he should be known as probably the greatest fighter in the world right now. I mean, this guy is, I wouldn't even say arguably, pound for pound. Unfortunately, he has some issues in the past. John Jones is a 31 years old today. John Bones Jones.
Wow.
But Russ, he got popped for boner pills.
What could have been?
Did he really? Yeah.
Seriously, what could have been with that guy?
Yeah.
I mean, what already is. And then think about his legacy if he had, like, the discipline of a guy like Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah.
I mean, could you imagine? That guy genuinely would be one of the most dominant athletes in the history of sport in America.
He was. I mean, and it really was a boner pill, Russ, that he got popped for.
With Viagra?
He bought it at a gas station. These guys in UFC are just tested nonstop.
Yeah.
As of late, maybe the last four or five years or something. But, this guy, and he admitted, he goes, I took a pill to have sex.
Oh, really?
And it had a banned medication on it. Unfortunately, it was a second time popping, and he hasn't fought since. And this is literally the guy that could be the
light heavyweight. John Jones was in trouble because he has a propensity to do copious amounts of cocaine.
Yeah, he has a cocaine issue, too. I was about to say.
That was one of them as well.
Epic levels. Like, the story was is that after his victory against DC, he wasn't partying in the United States. Because, again, he loves cocaine.
Yeah.
And another thing with him, he's the guy who beat Cormier twice. And Cormier now is the standing light heavyweight.
Right. And heavyweight.
But he got that taken away because he loves cocaine.
Yeah. And Cormier would call his ass out about it. By the way, the name of the movie is The Imitation Game.
The Imitation Game. There we go.
I mean, John Jones, did I tell you guys? He loves the cocaine.
He loves cocaine.
Like, he's never going to fight professionally again.
You don't think so?
Never. No. Because he loves cocaine.
Play the song.
I want to see
him. He's not. This guy, obviously, he's demonstrated that he is never going to get that demon under control.
Yeah.
And by the time he does, he's going to be a shell of his former self. And everyone's going to be quick to give him the accolades. It happened the other night with DC winning the heavyweight, the belts.
With Lesnar?
Everybody was like, he's not the greatest. Guess what? DC is.
He's the guy.
He is the guy. You can't even factor John Jones into it because why? Because he can't fight. Because why? He loves cocaine.
Yep.
Would they let him fight on cocaine? Because he might be better.
I wish. I would pay if we just have one UFC night where it's the dirtiest night. They're literally doing rails on the octagon rail.
You take a break. Round one's over. Go back.
Ding, ding.
Dude,
fight it out.
Could you imagine if you started an unsanctioned?
They have that in Japan in a couple places.
Dude, they're doing rails of cocaine, HGH, steroids in between.
Unsanctioned fighting where, I mean, pretty much anything goes. You can call out anybody you want. God almighty.
I
want
to see it. I want to see that.
That's a movie waiting to be made.
That's Thunderdome, man. That's like...
It is Thunderdome.
Yeah.
And another birthday today. One of the greatest guitar players of all time.
CC DeVille from Poison.
He's 71 years old.
71.
Greatest. He's going to get another pop here pretty soon. Maybe in the next couple months. I wonder how he's going to look. I don't know enough about him. I know his band. Very popular.
Oh, Queen. Boom, it's Queen. Brian May.
There you go. Brian May. 71 years old.
He's got great hair for being at 71.
That movie looks like it's going to be really, really good.
Really good.
Yeah.
I see an Oscar nomination.
Because we love the song.
Everybody loves the song, right?
Yeah.
Everybody loves that band. It's a totally unique band that has never been paralleled.
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically introduced everybody to basically almost opera rock. You know, I mean, it's really kind of what it was. I mean, it was so unique in the time. And by the way, Brian May's guitar tone, how his guitar sounds, is so unique that Vox, the amplifier company, made an amp that all it does is make Brian May's tone. There's an on and off switch and a volume, and that's it. It only sounds like his guitar.
In the trailer, it's funny because, like, you know, this is where the operatic part goes, and he's like, the operatic part.
Yeah.
And it sounds ridiculous. And then when they play it, it's like, my God, it's,
I can't,
it's genius.
Wait. That Bohemian Rhapsody turned me on to rock music. That was the first one.
Let me ask you guys this real quick in regards to that movie. Do you think, because of all the stories that we've heard and all the like everything that we've heard about that, if none of that is
displayed,
broached in the movie, is the movie still good?
What do you mean?
It's like, well, everything that we've heard about Freddie Mercury, like, he was a different, he, like,
I don't know much about him.
Oh.
I don't know much about him, really.
He got down. And I do know one thing. Okay. Today will be a great day. To the top, never stop.
All right, when we come back, Angel's going to bring you Monster Sports. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning.
Now that we've all quit Facebook and started talking to each other again, you want me to sign a petition?
It's a serious problem.
To bring back Snickerdoodle Coffee Creamer. Facebook.com/RealRadioOrlando.
Real Radio. 104.1.
Hey, the iconic Brady Bunch house is up for sale. What do you think they're asking for it?
You mean a house of six that has apparently two bedrooms and one bathroom?
It's the house you saw on the TV show.
Yeah.
I don't know the insides of
I don't know where it is either. So I would say in California, anywhere in California, I'll go $500,000.
You say $500,000. What do you think, Angel? The Brady Bunch house is up for sale. What do you think? It's a
$1 million.
$1 million. What do you think, Carlos? The Brady Bunch house is up for sale. What do you think?
I'm going to go $1.8 million.
I told you.
That's what I did.
It's $1.88 million that they're asking for, and they expect that there'll be a lot of people that want to run through it, but it's going to be hard to actually sell it. But
does it still look the same?
It does look the same, and it's really not that. It's not that fancy of a house, really.
But it doesn't have to be where it is, man. I mean,
it's the Brady Bunch. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and
hey, welcome back. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Carlos, and now Angel's going to bring you Monster Sports.
Think about it. They should give you a discount considering how many people are going to be driving by your house every day. Or maybe not. Who knows? She's been up there a long time.
Monster Sports brought to you by my great friends at Harry Buffalo. One of the things I need to remind you guys, they have daily specials over there at Harry Buffalo. Today, for example, is Thursday, and they have boneless wings.
Ooh, I love boneless wings.
60-cent boneless wings. You choose your sauce. You got to do a minimum order of six. That's just one of the specials that they have during the week. Fridays, they do fish and chips. Saturday, they do buffalo mac and cheese bake. And Sunday, and this is something that we got to try once, they do the henny chicken.
Oh, yeah. The rappers love it.
What's the henny kit? What's that?
Well, that was the chicken that they brought in. That was the one they brought food last time.
Oh. That Nashville really, hot.
That,
kind of
that fried with the way they do it. Yeah. And it comes with two JoJo potatoes.
Oh, man.
Now, there's different prices for all those, so it's not all $6.
JoJo Potatoes is my NASCAR name.
All right, last night we had the ESPY Awards, and we briefly talked about it earlier in the show. It's probably going to go down as one of the most emotional ESPYs in quite some time. There was a lot of different presentations and moments on the microphone. One of the ones that's getting a lot of run this morning was Jim Kelly speaking, and here's some of that audio.
And by the way, we should say he had cancer, and they had to take part of his jaw off.
Yeah, just in case you're not aware, that's why he's going to sound the way that he sounds.
Yeah. I came up with a saying, make a difference today for someone who is fighting for their tomorrow. When I look across this arena, and when I talk to people, and I look up here, you don't need to be a Russell Wilson, an Aaron Rodgers, to make the difference out there. Every single person in this room can be a difference maker. You can be just a normal person who gets up every morning and goes to work, but you can be a difference maker, putting a smile on those faces. My kids, my friends, when they came in to see me, not once did they ever have a frown on their face. So I just urge anybody out there, if you have somebody out there suffering, it doesn't have to be cancer. It could be somebody not having a good day. It could be your mom, your dad. It could be your grandparents. What you say to them, the smile that you have on your face, that can be the difference in them making it the next day. Remember that. Always, always persevere. Like Jimmy V said, never, ever give up. And to my Bills fans back home, I love you. And to everybody here tonight and to the Jimmy V Foundation, thank you for honoring me and humbling me with this award. I love you all. God bless, and may the good Lord continue to bless you. Thank you.
That was great, man.
Hell yeah.
And I, you know, this is so sad because they said Coach Jim, oh, what was it? It's
Jim Kelly.
Jim Kelly. Coach Jim Kelly. Coach Jim Kelly. I'm like, he's a player. And I'm looking, that's Jim Kelly. I didn't realize he was coaching. I remember him playing. And how many Super Bowls was he in? Like four, five, 15?
He was in three.
Three or four?
I think it was three, and he lost all three of them.
Oh, but still.
I mean, not him personally. Like, the Bills lost
them. But he was a great quarterback.
Yeah, I think he went to like three in a row, did he not? I thought it was four total and went three in a row.
The former Bills quarterback who led the team to, I'm sorry, four consecutive Super Bowl appearances from 1990 through 1993 urged fans to be positive. One of the neat things was, if you remember that class, when those that year, that draft, three of the most iconic NFL quarterbacks started their careers that same year.
I think that's John Elway?
It's Elway, Marino, and him.
Yeah. Wow.
And so Elway and Dan Marino were on stage with him. And so I thought that was a kind of cool class of quarterbacks to be in. So that was, again, it was pretty neat to see.
That was, and I watched it this morning, and I'm like, man, that was, I don't know what it was about. Just the way he gave the way he delivered that.
Well,
he's powerful.
He's handled adversity pretty well his entire life. I mean, when you go to four Super Bowls in a row and you don't come home with any trophy, I mean, you got to be. Could you imagine what that must be like? I mean, getting there is such a great accomplishment, but you can't win one. You can't make it happen, and you got to live with that for the remainder of your life. And, you know, and Marino never won one either.
No, that quote is fantastic. I think I may be misquoting it, but don't wait to help someone today that is fighting for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the headline. And that was one of the iconic moments. Another iconic moment, three of the high school coaches killed during the mass shooting in Parkland, Florida earlier this year were honored with their dedications, and here's some of that audio.
Heroes walked these halls. Remember that as much as anything else when you think about that fateful day, February 14th, 2018. Remember them. Scott Beagle, Aaron Feiss, Chris Hickson. All three coaches. All three their own visions of what heroes can look like.
If you get a chance, go back and watch that produced piece by ESPN. We'll post it up on monsters.fm. It's about a 3.5-minute piece that ESPN presented there. And, that one will get you.
Yeah, sure.
Another iconic moment, again, from this year's ESPYs is when the 141 women that were victims of I don't want to say the guy's name, but from the Michigan
doctor,
State, the doctor from Michigan State University, and they took the stage as well, and there's a little bit of audio from them.
It's kind of odd, isn't it?
Thank you.
The round of applause.
Thank you.
What else are you supposed to do?
Family for honoring survivors of sexual abuse.
Okay, I see.
It is a privilege to stand up here with my sister survivors as we represent hundreds more who are not with us tonight. Make no mistake, we are here on this stage to present an image for the world to see, a portrait of survival, a new vision of courage. The abuse of Larry Nassar began 30 years ago with me. For 30 years, people at the United States Olympic Committee, USA Gymnastics, and Michigan State University all placed money and medals above the safety of child athletes.
Yikes. Wow.
30 years. until the work of Detective Lieutenant Andrea Mumford of the Michigan State Police Department.
Wow, that's professionally being put on blast.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If you ever want to know what that's all about, yeah. You just got put on last.
Wow.
So those were some of the most iconic moments. Another portion or what was being talked about was the MC of the night.
Yeah, Danica Patrick.
Danica Patrick was the host, and she was the MC of the evening.
How did she get that gig?
She looked great. I don't know how she got the gig, though.
How did she get that? It's not like I think of Danica like, now that one's a little firecracker.
She's not a bubbly personality.
Yeah, there's a great speaker.
Yeah.
Well, it's probably part of the transition, right? So she's retired from driving. ESPN, as a network, has always been really super cool with her. Like you guys said, she's easy on the eyes. She looks good on television. But so you want to do, you're still putting on a television show, you know?
You know, but they have so much talent in that building. You're telling me Scott Van Pelt wasn't considered for that?
I don't think they've used, really? I could be wrong. As of late, the last few years, they've used either former athletes or celebrities like this to host the ESPYs. I don't think they've used ESPN talent to do this in quite some time. It's been a change in the way they do the shows.
That seems like a marketing miss there, because, I mean, wouldn't you want to showcase some of your biggest talent at the network considering the shape the network's in?
Don't get it wrong. They're part of the show all over the place. They do the red carpet. They do all the other. There are a ton of ESPN people that are involved in the day of programming, but I think the actual show they've been in the last few years, they've transitioned and used, like I said, former athletes.
Now, did Danica try to do, did she do jokes or?
Okay, so I've grabbed up a couple of them and see what you guys think of these.
We'll be the true judges.
Yeah. We know.
For the last 25 years, the ESPYs have been about celebrating the magic of sports. No matter what else is going on in the world, sports have always had the power to inspire and give hope, unless those people are from Cleveland.
Oh, man.
Okay, that's funny, you know.
All right, so that was one of the jokes. And now this is the one where I think, I'm going to play the next one for you. This is where I think the rails kind of came off for her, okay? Yeah. Let's see if we can get this going.
The joke was funny. Delivery is, different.
Listen to the reaction of the room of this next one, okay?
Greatest basketball players of all time. And now LeBron is the newest Los Angeles transplant. Los Angeles transplant is also what he Googles when he needs new hair.
Oh, man. delivered poorly.
Oh, my God.
That's her promise, delivery.
If somebody else
says that with, who knows,
Kevin
timing,
Hart says it.
With timing, then it's funny.
It's
funny, but her delivery, she's not a comedian, so she didn't know how to deliver it properly,
I
you know?
I thought it was great.
Cringeworthy. Oh, God.
I weren't laughing, though, but I mean.
I thought she crushed
any more?
It.
Do you have any more?
Hold on. Let me see what
else. Please watch some more, because this shows you how it's not so easy to do a lot of this stuff that people make look easy
every day.
You know, we bash. Well, Ryan Seacrest is probably a bad example, but somebody who's funny, who hosts all the time.
If Jimmy Kimmel delivers those same lines, it's going to be funny.
Oh, it murders.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh.
You know, Dennis Miller's hosted this thing before.
Right.
And so has Norm MacDonald, so professional comedians have done it.
Yeah. Are you trying to buy another one?
Do you think they got it because it's like a woman's thing? Like this year, they want to have a woman host.
That's what the headline was. First time a woman host.
Oh, is that the case?
Yeah.
All right, here's another one.
Yeah.
I had no idea if this is good or bad. This is the next one I could get queued up.
Okay.
This is good.
Ovechkin couldn't be any happier. I haven't seen a Russian this pleased with Washington since, 2 days ago.
That's a good joke,
but she blew it.
But here's the thing. We've met her. She's very intense. She was nice enough.
A little stiff, though.
She was not funny, though.
And that doesn't mean, look, if I had delivered the same lines, it wouldn't be funny. You know, like, I'm not saying I'm funny, but there are some people that can deliver those lines, and it would kill. Some people just read the lines, and it's not funny.
A host? Jumping in there and hosting an award show? Had she hosted anything at this level before? Because doing that...
Other than the GoDaddy Christmas party?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Because you do this at the GoDaddy commercial, it works. You can edit it, you can shoot it.
You know, the funny thing is somebody texts in. I think it's kind of accurate. 77031. If you want to text the show, you can save it as Real Radio. Text all the shows. We love it. It says, you know, that if you look at the evening with the victims of that doctor being on stage, it was really kind of a women empowerment evening. So to have her up there would be good. But again, I go back. I mean, Robin Roberts could do it. I mean, a lot of people could do it.
Yeah.
Here's one more of the jokes.
Oh, good. Okay, this is fun.
And I can't wait to show that same respect to so many of you tonight. World Series champion Jose Altuve is here. And when I say it's incredible that Jose can reach the top of his profession without being able to reach the top shelf of his locker,
wow.
It's out of respect.
That is so stiff, man.
She just doesn't know. You know,
well, stop defending her, Russ. She's not your girlfriend.
I like her.
Oh, she's okay.
I don't mind it, to be honest with you.
Team Danica.
Shut up.
I think it's
Danica. Give it to a female athlete that has some personality that
okay,
can go
name
out.
Me one.
Candace Parker is great. She's a WNBA player.
Hope Solo can turn it into a porn show. That chick that was dating, what's the skier?
Lindsey Vonn.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I just think that's a
but
bad
But here's
pick.
The thing. I've zeroed in on a couple of the audio bits for it, and we're being this critical about it, right? Twitter loved her.
Yeah.
She as far as Twitter goes, she was trending. Twitter loved her. The only, as far as
Twitter's drunk.
As far as publications go, the only publication that has run her down has been Sports Illustrated. Everybody else thought she did great.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the hardcores. They almost don't even count. Look, it's an entertainment show.
Well, maybe I need to watch her saying it. Maybe if I see her saying it,
look,
it's
you
different.
Could tell. Look, you could tell that she is
nervous.
Like she's nervous.
Yeah,
she's awkward. She's like not knowing exactly what to do with her hands.
Oh, really?
She's having one of those moments.
Oh, yeah.
And that's kind of how she is when you meet her for the first 4 or 5 minutes. You know, until she realizes you're not going to ask her how she looks in a bikini or who she's dating or whatever. She's a little stiff. Then you know when you kind of get her going, she realizes that she's safe and she'll start. Talking. By the way, was the entire show good?
Yeah.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was all right. And here's the other part. It's like, you want somebody, like, you, these guys get, you know, looked up to and honored all the time.
Right.
Every now and then, someone breaking their balls, not so bad.
Yeah, somebody said that they did a spoof of Me Tanya.
Oh,
and they
called
it Me Danica or whatever.
Oh,
Tanya Harding should have done it.
Yeah, right. And that's Monster Sports, guys.
Thank you, Angel. All right, you're listening.
Don't get mad.
You're listening to the Monster Morning.
Why are you yelling at me again? You're going to get that guy to call you again, see?
You're mad. I can feel it. The Me Danica thing's pretty funny.
The what?
The Me Danica thing that she did, the parody.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's I, Tanya, Me Danica. It's actually pretty funny. Check it out. I think it's up on YouTube. You can see it there. Or maybe we'll throw it up on Monsters.fm.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
It's
a YouTube thing. I can find it. Hey, welcome out to the Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. Tomorrow at 3 o'clock, it's a Jim Colbert show.
She even plays the abusive mother. I love it.
Oh, she does?
Yeah. We got some cool stuff coming up tomorrow. We're going to talk to that. We're trying to talk to that crew from Mount Dora. You know about that whole Van Gogh thing?
I saw yesterday the live press conference where they apologized to them. And So somehow they must have really been able to screw them good if they apologized
and honestly,
gave them their money back.
$15,000 in fine. They were fining them daily. It was a national story. Turns out, when it was all said and done, the mayor issued a formal apology yesterday, and these two people in an artsy community did an artsy thing. And
why did he issue the apology and then they give the money back? Because the judge told him that to.
I'm sorry?
You never see somebody do that.
No,
especially
it
government, you know?
I think he just kind of wound up. To be honest with you, I don't know the entire story. That's why we're trying to talk to him. We have to go through their attorney to get to him.
Mm-hmm.
They're of Polish descent. He immigrated here. He's an artist and very accomplished and supposed to be a great guy that everybody likes. But, you know, I think he just did it like, hey, look, this is my house, my thing. I'm going to do it.
What happened? What did he do?
He painted his home to look like a Van Gogh painting.
Starry Night.
Okay. Yeah, so, and of course, I mean, to the people there, like, come on, man. You know, I mean, you know, we all have homes here. It's kind of an eyesore. So there's a great fight. You know, we know a lot of people in our audience deal with homeowners associations. I know I do. You know, I know, I think you do as well, Russ, right?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I wish I had one in mind. Right. Jesus Christ. I'd burn a couple of those houses down.
But, buddy, isn't that an interesting argument, though? All you hear is people bitch about them. But when you drive into your neighborhood and everything looks great, the last thing you think about is thanking your homeowners association. But I will tell you, I'm one of those guys that kind of doesn't mind it. I want people held to a certain standard when I buy a property in a neighborhood. I don't want you putting up your junk house next to mine or painting your house orange. I don't need that.
I've had houses where I was in a homeowner's association, and it's when I didn't take care of my house as much. So I was like, that sucks. Why do I have to have my trash can on this side? Whatever. Now we go out of our way to really take care of our house.
Because you put some work in that bitch.
Absolutely. And then when I drive in our neighborhood, there's a couple houses that I literally flick off as I drive by because they keep their house looking like a flea market in Christmas. I mean, in Christmas, Florida, not Christmas time. Yeah. And it's just, it's infuriating. But I know, then there's those homeowners association that are like, you can't, you know, have this, you can't do that. But
your hose has to be green. It can't be ivory.
Yeah.
Or you can only plant certain color flowers. You know going in, though, dude. That's right. The thing.
I had heard this, and I thought it was a joke, but now people are saying it on the texting service, so maybe
people
it's
are
true.
Saying...
They're saying that they painted the house that way because they have an autistic son, and they want the autistic son to be able to identify the house when they're on...
But again, I mean,
we can put a red flag in the front.
Hey, how about not let him out of the house if he's leaving it? You know, if he's gonna get lost. I mean, I don't know. That just seems kind of crazy.
But an interesting argument, you would agree, right?
I mean, it's a hard one to battle.
Why the mayor apologized.
Don't know. We're gonna find out. Hopefully, we'll find out. We're making contact with those guys today, and maybe that'll be on the show tomorrow. Plus, all the normal stuff we do with Ross and Brendan O'Connor and things.
Hey, nice. So you guys, I know I do this a lot of times. I'm like, man, I don't know why I don't have as much energy. Do you guys ever think, man, I feel run down. I don't have
took a 2.5-hour nap yesterday.
That's going to sleep, dog.
But let me tell you something. My wife had to wake me up, and I was semi-mad. She did, but you said earlier, Carlos, about you know, about feeling good and working out and everything, and then you said the idea of sleep, right?
Oh,
sleep.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm telling you, I hit that wall. I've just come to the conclusion that at 50 years old, I can't roll like I've rolled my entire life on 4 and 5 hours of sleep a night. I have got to figure out a way to get my fat ass into my bed faster, because waking up at 4:30, and I know you even wake up earlier than I do, Russ, but waking up at 4:30 after going to bed at 11 o'clock has finally taken its toll. I can't do it anymore.
I
feel like a bag of ass. And yesterday, I walked in, talked to my son and my wife for a couple of seconds because I had to record prime time, so I get home to like 2:33, and I said, I got to grab a nap. And my wife woke me up at 6.
But I bet you felt, after about 10 minutes of waking up, you probably felt like $1 million.
Yeah, I did jumping jacks up my stairs. It was great. I mean, it felt like $1 million.
We're now, and I love this, we're in bed by 7:45, asleep by 8.
That's a little too early for me.
For me, I'm 53.
That's true. I'm trying to get into bed by 10:45, and that's really hard.
9:30 would be the absolute perfect time for me.
Well, what it says here is there are other things that could be draining your energy and you don't know it. And this was a study done by some university. I can't find it in the article, but some university did this, and they said that. And as I look through these things that they mentioned, a couple of them I am guilty of. And if you get rid of some of these things, it's that you might find you're not as tired, you're not as zapped of your energy as you once were. So here are some of the things they say zap your energy and you don't even realize it going through the day. It's like one of them is taking things too personal. So like, you know, somebody says something or someone says something that's obscure, and you think for sure it's about you, and
you take things
way too personal.
And it stays in your brain, and it's using up mental energy, and you're thinking of responses, and you're thinking of the things, so that makes perfect sense.
Being offended and angry all the time just wastes your energy inside in your brain, which kind of... it clocks you all day long.
Makes sense.
That's one of the things that takes a toll on you, it says. Another one, constant worrying. If you're constantly worrying, whether it's about, you know, your business or the ratings or the stupid YouTube channel or you're
or
worried
family
about
family
or your someone's really internalizing this.
Sorry.
Holy smokes.
Hey, I really took that personally.
No, listen. The first one, I'm not as guilty of, taking things personally. I don't really, but you constantly worrying about things. I do have that issue or that problem, worrying about what we're going to talk about tomorrow, worrying about the ratings, worrying about the worrying thing I do have. And they says that
worrying makes you gain weight too. So.
I must be worried as hell.
I'm starting worrying Weight Watchers.
Wow, that was- That was so unnecessary.
They're saying,
when you think about it, really. You know, when you look back at that comment, it was extremely unnecessary.
Was that the LeBron transfer?
I'm not going to take that personally.
I was about to say, it would waste your energy.
Yeah. It's a problem. You should.
It says here that the constant worrying thing is a hard one to fix, but it's one of the ones that drains most of your energy throughout the day. So, try not to worry about things that you have no control over. That's the problem. I'm convinced those are the things I do have control over. So it keeps going through my mind.
And a lot of those you kind of do.
I know.
Yeah.
So number three is negativity. Negativity is a huge drain on your energy. And people that complain all the time, or, you know, if you're upset all the time, once again, it drains you horribly. I don't have that one as much, but number four, probably overthinking things, where you go over it in your mind, you know, a bunch of times, and you keep going over
think
and over.
Long, think wrong.
You know, overthinking things drains your energy. Man. And is an energy waster.
Yeah, I do not overthink things. I'm not somebody that and probably to a fault a lot of times. Especially with like little stuff that I create, videos and stuff like that. I'm like, let's just get it out. And there's a lot of people that overthink the things that they create, and then analysis becomes paralysis.
Yeah.
And you're not able to push out what you think is good or what you really want to do, because you're like, well, wait a second, what if somebody thinks this? Like, I just made a video. It's on To The Top Carlos Instagram. I shot it during the show. I put it up. There was a couple times I'm like, should I post that? Like, nah, screw it. Put it up. Boom. And that overthinking has helped me. It's probably hurt me sometimes too.
But you know what it does also? By overthinking, you put yourself behind.
Yep.
Like if you take too much time on one thing, now you've crowded your schedule for the rest of the day and you don't get things accomplished. In other words, like Carlos is saying, you paralyze yourself with overanalyzing something so you don't get anything else done.
My wife is doing, she is gets obsessed with decorating, and she has a project. We're painting the house. For the Greatest Showman sleepover, we're thinking of doing red. No, I'm just kidding.
The Greatest Showman. I mean, you guys are going to watch that movie together.
Yes, with Savannah, Ryan Holmes, girl. Everybody's going to be Angel's Show baby coming. It. Anyway, she sat at the house and stared at the wall for hours. And I would walk by, and she's looking at it. And she's doing, like, a beautiful mind calculation.
Yeah.
And in my head, I'm like, let's just do it gray.
Goes with everything.
And so that's why when we do talk, it's a kind of meet in the middle thing that I know I need to think about it a little bit more. She probably needs to think about it a little bit less. And when we meet in the middle, it works.
Yeah. I overthink some things and not others. So I'm maybe in the middle with that one. These are things that drain you and you don't even realize. And it's probably making you tired. And you don't even know it. And it says gossip and creating drama.
Oh, yeah. Did you see negativity, how much it drains?
Yeah.
Like, these are all negative aspects, and you know?
And then the last one is being too much of a people pleaser.
Oh, yeah. You're doing things for everybody else, yeah. And then you got no time or energy for yourself.
It says being helpful is great, but when you do it too much, you end up never focusing on yourself. And so these are those are things that if you do any of these too much, that it'll drain you, make you feel tired. Angel, any of those are any of those you?
No. I'm not a people pleaser. I don't.
You're a person pleaser.
I don't get caught up in gossip and any of that.
You really don't.
Crap. I could care less what anyone outside, you know.
Yeah. Do you overthink things? No.
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 Not. I tend not to.
Do you constantly worry about things?
If I have worries, it's probably more like how am I going to get this house? How am I going to, you know, how's the kid doing?
Those real everyday life.
Yeah. But stuff, like, you should be worried about.
I don't like if there's nothing I can do to handle the situation. If there's nothing that I can do to affect it, I absolutely don't give it space in my brain.
That's a lot of people's problem is focusing that energy on things that you can't control and trying to change it. That's a huge problem with people.
It drove my family insane because they were like, "Oh, he's the free spirit." I'm not saying that what I do is the best. It's worked for me to a certain extent.
Texting service said, "F man, no wonder I'm tired all the time." That's for the texting service.
But don't get it wrong. I'm still exhausted. Waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning is a kick in the nuts.
It is. But the experts say that our bodies do go shutdown mode around 12:30, 1:30. It's just the way our brains kind of work. They need a little bit of rest.
I know you guys laugh at me when I say in bed by 7:45 or whatever, but I gotta tell you, I'm so glad that, you know, I mean, if I stayed up till 10 and then got up at 4 still, I would just...
No, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. I'm trying to get 6.5, 7.
Yep.
7 and 9 is what you're supposed to get, but it's hard.
It's hard, especially when you want to watch TV.
That's the problem. So much that's the problem. We want to watch TV. All the good shows come on. Then I don't have a DVR now, so I have to kind of watch everything.
No DVR.
Yeah, we just cut that. We cut the DVR out of our life, man.
Little trash bags and no DVR, Jimmy.
Yeah. Little trash bags, no DVR.
How's that working out?
Actually, we don't mind at all. We watch things live. I actually like that better.
Yeah.
Now, again, you know, my schedule is going to change a little bit here soon, so staying up late won't be that big of a deal. But again, you're not getting home until 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, depending on what you have to do after the show and stuff. And
Schedule is going to be literally flip-flopped.
Well, even on Fridays, it's weird.
Yeah.
You know, because you get up, and it's just kind of a weird thing altogether. It's really kind of, I've been in a daze for the last 6 months doing this because it's just been very bizarre, you know, every day getting up at 4 o'clock and then getting up at, you know, 7:30 or 7 instead. I mean, that extra hour and a half of sleep
it's all the difference.
It's like a Christmas gift every morning.
There's a difference between waking up at 4:30 and 5:30. I know, obviously, literally there is a difference, but physically wise, I've woken up, you know, I wake up at 4:30 and then I've woken up at 5:30 and that little extra hour, it helps you.
I saw some study, you know, something about when you go to sleep at night, your brain is not expected to go to sleep when it's dark and wake up when it's dark. Something about your body or your brain, it's harder for it to
get going.
Like you know, they're supposed to be light at one point,
right?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, my wife actually texted me this morning. She's having a very difficult time sleeping, and she has had for a while. You know. And she said, we got to get blackout shades because even the street lights in the morning, because I wake her up when I get up, she's a very light sleeper. So, when I get up, she'll wake up. And then, believe it or not, even the lights outside, you know, the street lights outside the house affect the way that she
sleeps. Sleep mask? Does she have a sleep mask?
She does not. She won't be able to see me at all times.
Well, I tell you what, the thing that we do, and we've tried changing something else, we just keep going back to it, is for it to sound like it's raining, a thunderstorm.
I love it.
The room is dark, and she's like, turn on the rain. Because we'll try to listen to music for a little while. I'm like, it's too distracting. Turn on the rain.
Yeah.
And you turn on the rain, a little bit of thunder, and man, it just puts you right to sleep.
Yeah, we got the same thing going too. But Jimmy, you don't sleep with any noise, right? Just dead silence?
No, just the noise of my own personality.
That's kicking around in his head.
Yeah, actually, the air conditioning, when it turns on, I find that when the air turns on, that sound will put me to sleep.
White noise?
Yeah, will just put me right out. Yeah. I'm done. I sleep pretty hard. I don't have any problem. But I wake up, when my alarm hits, I wake up first. I might hit snooze one time and I'm out.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, you're listening to The Mantra of the Morning. Going vote for the best villain actor of all time, and when you vote, you very well could enter. You'll be entered to win a $100 Fandango gift card. So go now to realradio.fm or monsters.fm and vote in the brackets for your favorite actors that are villains. I didn't see that. I'll be able to do that in a second. I didn't look at the update. I want to take tomorrow on the Monster of the Morning another opportunity to win tickets for two to the Monster Fan Appreciation Show, which is going to be at Universal Studios on August the 4th.
Yeah.
Your chance will be tomorrow. And you know what? We might even give a couple away if you're watching on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. We got to do that.
YouTube Live on Friday. We're always live on YouTube.
FML, baby.
And Savannah will be here. We got a bunch of special stuff happening. That's tomorrow with the Monster of the Morning. And then we got, let's see here. Let's look at the update real quick. Jimmy brings a good point. I should check that out. And see,
I didn't know if you had it. I'm trying to put you on the spot.
No, it's okay. I do have an email to read, but we got time. Let's see here. Let's go with the. If you go to monsters.fm and you go to the, it's got a page for the who's the best villain of all time. Let's see where we're at here. I think we're still in round two. And
yesterday we had a bunch of really tough ones, like Alan Rickman versus Gary Oldman, I believe, or something like that.
Yeah, it's Alan Rickman against Gary Oldman. Then you've got Al Pacino versus Jack Nicholson.
Right.
Then you've got Robert De Niro is taking on Ralph Fiennes. You got Anthony Hopkins against Christoph Waltz. And that's where we're at. So you can go and check it out for yourself and vote for yourself, and you're eligible to win that the gift card to Fandango. I got an email from somebody. Where'd it go? Here it goes. Her name is Ella. Ella says she's been a fan of the show for a long time. I love listening every morning. It says, so I live in a nice apartment building. And a few years ago when they started the construction on I-4, there were like 25 construction workers outside across the street all the time, and they would always whistle at me. It was annoying, but I got used to it. Now here we are several years later, and I'm 30 years old now, and they don't whistle at me anymore, and it bothers me. I'm ashamed to admit that it bothers me. I feel really insecure that they're not whistling at me anymore. It's actually got me to go back to the gym. I feel ashamed as a woman for feeling this way. Should I be ashamed for feeling this way? I haven't told anyone else about it. And her name is Ella. So when they started the construction on it, they were whistling at her.
Yeah.
And she was annoyed and pissed off. But now that they're not whistling at her, she's like, whoa, wait a minute. What's going on?
You're not
going
to believe this. I just came in from outside, and they're whistling at Stephanie now.
Yeah. Stupid bitch.
Now, hold on. What does she have that I don't have?
I think it's probably human nature. You shouldn't feel bad about it.
Isn't it strong? What I found curious is the word that the terminology she's using. She's using the word ashamed.
Yeah.
It's not that, I don't know. I mean,
should I feel ashamed as a woman for feeling this way? So is that going to be me, like with the Me Too movement and the Time's
right,
Up
right.
And all this?
Not for nothing, guys, but we're talking about construction workers.
Well, but what she's
probably
saying is,
not the most savvy of guys with whatever movements are going on in the world right now.
I know, but what she's saying is, I kind of liked it when they were being disrespectful and whistling and all this stuff.
Attention.
I actually liked it, and am I not supposed to like it in this world of Me Too, hashtag what's up?
Well, this is one situation that perfectly exemplifies how a lot of women feel.
Uh-huh.
They get older. They're not being sought after. They're not getting hollered at.
Yeah, she's 30 now.
They're not being flirted. Now, that's pretty still, that's young for that feeling. But I'm talking about when women get, you know, older, maybe 20 or 30 years after that, especially women who have been used to it. You know, maybe the really beautiful women, and they continue being beautiful, but just older, that they got to feel like, God, I would want these guys to kind of holler at me, but that's wrong, you know? So I'm sure a lot of women feel that. I mean, we've ingrained them to think that
way. So should she be ashamed that she really is kind of, her feelings are kind of hurt, that they're not being disrespectful to her? You know what I'm saying?
She probably just needs to do an extra set of crunches.
Yeah, just hit the squats up, girl.
Is that disrespectful, though? I'm asking a question.
To whistle at a woman as she's walking
now, where are we at now in the society? Is all cat calling bad?
Probably.
Telling somebody they're attractive is bad?
No, I think if you scream like, you are a beautiful woman!
Yeah.
Like, I respect you wholly!
Right. You look intelligent.
You look intelligent and smart, and I would love to have a conversation with you! And that ass.
I think if a woman is, let's say,
yeah, that's not gonna go.
Let's say we're standing out in the parking lot, and a good-looking woman walks out of the building, walked to her car. It would be really attacky to go.
Yeah, that used to happen in Savannah. Remember when they were building that building next door? She would walk to her car, and they would be like, "Hey!" And remember this? When they painted her name in spray paint on one of the beams, and when they stopped doing it, who got pissed off?
She was mad as hell.
They used to put my name in the beams.
Right
now, they got some Jade name up there.
Jade's very good looking.
She's a beautiful woman.
Yeah, no, man.
Her Twitter.
Could you imagine if you were standing with a group of guys? Like, sometimes we sit in the parking lot, like Russ just said, and then let's say it was mixed company and it was another guy, and we're standing there talking, and a chick walks by, and the guy goes, "Hey, looking good." Wouldn't he be so uncomfortable?
Yeah, I take everything back. It's douchey.
It is
very douchey. But
douchey is different than disrespectful, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, you're 100% right. But I mean, Carlos explaining it like that does make perfect sense. I mean, we always give that construction worker thing kind of a pass because there they are in the heat, you know, eating out of a box. But in a professional setting, we are all sitting in the parking lot, and a new hire or anybody for that matter walked out and we're like, "Hey, looking great." That's bad. I mean, I'll tell you straight up, that's bad.
I wonder where the whistle thing.
I gotta stop doing that.
I wonder where that that got its start. You know,
the wolf call,
the cat calling.
That's
the term has to have some sort of origin. I mean, cat calling.
It's cat call.
Is it a cat call or a wolf whistle?
Cat call, right?
Is it? I don't know.
Yeah, when you cat call that chick.
Texting service says Ella is a dirty girl at heart.
Okay.
I don't know if that means dirty. You know what? It's a compliment when guys whistle at you, though it's probably disrespectful. It's a compliment.
Yeah.
And if that compliment is taken away and they're not whistling anymore, it probably makes sense. You're like, what the hell's wrong?
I'll tell you right now. I have not with the Time's Up movement. I'm happy that this movement is happening and a lot of these dirt bags are getting brushed out of the under the rug or whatever. I still compliment women all the time. If I genuinely
compliment is different than a whistle.
But that's a blurry line now.
It is a really blurry line.
If I see a woman, I don't care who she is, older, younger, whatever, I'll say, "Oh, you look beautiful today." If I really feel that. You know,
and but if a guy walks in and he looks good,
you look sharp, dude. You look handsome. Yeah, you look good, dude.
Dr. Butch comes in here. We always tell him he looks good.
Yeah. And that's the difference, right, Russ? If I was only a person like only with chicks, like, "Hey, you look freaking beautiful," you know.
Yeah.
But no, it doesn't matter who it is. If you look good, you look good. Man, I'll give you props.
I will tell a woman she looks good in a color, like, you know, "Hey, that color looks great on you," because of your skin tone, hair color, eye color, whatever the case may be. Now, the texting server is checking in, and it's funny. Because exactly what you said, Russ, is happening. 40-year-old woman, I get it. Laugh out loud. I'm a construction worker. We get in trouble if we get caught doing that. But then, I'm 49, never been gorgeous, but I've turned a few heads in my day. I do miss it, and I'm not ashamed of it. I get this woman. Lost 35 pounds, and now I catch dudes looking at me, and I like it.
Yeah.
I'm not proud of it, but I do like it. You know what I mean? So these people are basically saying, "Hey, look, you know, when you break it all down outside of the Me Too movement, we're still men and women."
Yeah.
And in nature, we're going to be attracted to each other. And there are certain aspects of your look, how you roll, how you walk, they're going to make people pay attention to you. I think the disrespecting is really where you draw the line.
Yeah.
That's the blur, I believe.
Think about us, okay? I told a story about a girl that paid attention to me in a parking lot one time 3 weeks ago, and it stuck with me.
Because you love it.
You know what
I'm
saying? Because I was like, "Whoa, that's really weird." You know, so women can feel the same way. No shame there. No shame there, Ella.
Thank you for sending me the email, russ@wtks.com. If you ever have any questions like that, we'd love to talk about them on the air. We appreciate you sending them in. Dirty Jim tomorrow at 3 o'clock. It's the Jim Colbert Show.
Yeah, a bunch of fun stuff. Just tune in. It's fun.
Then we got Angel tomorrow night from 10 till midnight. What the hell is Angel listening to? We'll be on tomorrow with our YouTube channel. You might have an opportunity to win the tickets to the Monster Fan Appreciation Show by listening on the air and YouTube channel. You never know. You want to listen tomorrow to find out. Stay tuned for the News Junkie right after the Monsters at 3 o'clock. It's the one and only Jim Phillips from the Phil's File. Then it's Tom and Dan. Then it's Real Last with Monster Comics. And then we're back tomorrow for a Friday edition to do our thing. From Dirty Jim, Angel Rivera, and Carlos Navarro.
And the end of this mess, my man, Russ Hydroxygummy Rollins.
Hey, thank you so much for listening. We ain't got to go home.
We got to get the hell up out of here.
Swirl.
Now that we've all quit Facebook and started talking to each other again.
Hey, you want
to
see pictures of my new spice cabinet?
Okay, facebook.com/realradioorlando.